is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lay.
The news junkie for a Monday, April 23rd, 2018. Lots to get to today, from the latest on the search for the Waffle House killer to the incredible audio that led to a judge's resignation and forehead reduction surgery procedures skyrocket, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lay.
Morning.
Hope everybody had a great, fantastic, and safe weekend. Here we are back on a day where, God, once again, it's just like a rainy, just washed out day in Central Florida. I guess that's what spring is all about. Mm-hmm. I guess that's kind of par for the course, but it doesn't make it any better. There's something about like days like yesterday, waking up and I go, it's Sunday. It's time to take on the day. I wanted to go get some hot dogs. I've been having crazy hot dog cravings, so I actually did. But you look outside and it's just dark and gloomy and you got to muscle through. And today's a little bit like that. So we're going to help you muscle through.
Let's do it.
And make our way through the day. Thanks again to everybody who bought the latest shirt, Stay Fickle. It completely and totally sold out. And now the process of getting everything printed and getting them shipped to you begins over the next week and a half or so. And then you'll have those right there on your doorstep to enjoy. So thanks again. And another shirt probably toward the end of summer or so for those of you who missed out on this one. We do have some good and very regal and royal news, folks. We do indeed. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge have welcomed their third child, a baby boy.
I didn't even know they were on three.
I thought they only had one or something. I didn't know either until I read that.
I knew this wasn't the first one, but I didn't know they were up to three.
Well, they got little Prince George, who is now four and pretty damn adorable, and Princess Charlotte, who's just 2 years old, and now a little baby boy. They said Kate, 36 years old, gave birth at St. Mary's Hospital, and they delivered a son at 1,100 hours today. That's their time, of course. The baby weighs 8 pounds and 7 ounces, which is that sort of middle of the road for baby weight?
I feel like it's average.
So.
Now it seems like it gets bigger and bigger. I think I was like a scrawny little baby. I think I was like 7 pounds, 6 ounces or something.
Is this My Country, Tis of Thee?
Oh, is it? Oh, no, this is the British anthem, God Save the Queen. We ripped that off My Country, Tis of Thee. How big were you born? How big were you when you were born, Sabrina?
I honestly don't know. I don't think I was a big baby. I think average, probably like 7 or 8 pounds.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I know that 10 is big because I just saw somebody had a baby and there was a comment under it like, damn, 10 pounds, that's a big boy. So yeah. I know that's how I look at the scale. But
10 pounds, and then I've seen some of them where it's like 10 pounds and then they're already like a couple feet tall.
Yeah.
The baby comes out like 2 feet tall. How big were you when you were born, too?
I don't know. I'm asking. I think I was about 8 pounds, 11 ounces, but I think 6 of those pounds was just all head.
Yeah. It's like top heavy a little bit.
Oh, then no. My forehead was big, too.
Well, I got news for that later if you're interested. The the forehead reduction surgery tease.
Yeah.
Lead to that in a little while. But the Duke of Cambridge was present for the birth. Good for him. The Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince of Wales, the Duchess of Cornwall, Prince Harry, and members of both families have been informed and delighted with the news. There
you go. Duchess of Cornwall doesn't sound like the most prestigious title.
No, Cornwall is the problem there.
Duchess of Cornhole would be cool, though.
That would be like the edgiest of all the royal family members, if there was a Duchess of Cornhole. The name of the baby is
being the Duke of Beer Pong.
The name of the baby is expected to be revealed in the coming days, but it's likely to have strong royal connections, blah, blah, blah. This little baby is now fifth in line for the throne, so a lot of people ahead of you, baby. And everybody's kind of waiting for the queen to die at this point. Let's just be honest. The royal family members have waited their turn, and this baby may never get a chance if it goes on as long as this.
Do we know how old the queen was when she took the throne?
I don't know.
Because she is lasting forever.
Yeah, it's going on for a while.
And I feel like there are some members of the royal family who are getting up there in age going, holy hell, this is the woman that just won't die.
There was a video over the weekend of her son at some event, And he's going, the queen, the blah, blah, blah. He's giving out all these names. You know, when you're royalty, you have like seven names sometimes. Mm-hmm. So he's giving out all of the names. And then he goes, or as I call her, mummy. And the queen rolled her eyes into the back of her head as far as she possibly could.
Wow. That's awesome.
Like, oh, I'm so done with this.
Casting queen shade.
I can't take it anymore. The scary news over the weekend was about this 29-year-old who went in and shot up a damn Waffle House at 3 o'clock in the morning, naked, with just a jacket on. All he had was a jacket on, and then he left with a jacket off and ran out completely nude. And they still haven't found this guy. They still have not found him.
Wait. How do they know he's 29?
They know who he is. They have his face. They have his picture. They already have arrest warrants for murder for this guy.
They're just running their dong a swinging. I'm 29.
They through security footage or his truck. He left his truck at the parking lot too. They know for sure who he is. He's already been added to the most wanted list for the FBI. They've got warrants to arrest him for murder. And he walked in and had shot and killed some people in the parking lot before killing some more people inside the Waffle House. And then this guy just said, I'm not going down like this. And this guy grabbed his gun. He had an AR-15 and stopped it, took the gun away from him and threw it over the counter at the Waffle House and started just pummeling the shooter.
And the guy still got away.
He still managed to kind of stumble out of there, now completely nude. They believe he may have went back to his house and put on some pants or something, and they still have not found him as of now. This happened on like early Saturday morning, and they still have not located him. But the guy who stopped all this, undoubtedly a hero. He was at this press conference just talking about the thing. And you know when somebody's a hero, because when they are a true and unique hero, they won't sit there and go, yep, that's right, like I will. They'll go, no, I'm not a hero. I just did what I had to do. And here he is at the press conference describing what happened.
How's it going, everybody? So, last night, I went out with my best friend. We went to a club out in the Antioch area. We left the club at about 2:30-ish.
Get some Waffle House.
We actually went to the Bell Road Waffle House first, but it was pretty packed in there, like two or three times what was in the Murfreesboro Road Waffle House.
Waffle House is popping at 3 o'clock in the morning, huh?
Seriously. Buddy, have you not been to a Waffle House late at night?
Not in a while. I haven't been up till 3 o'clock in a long time. I'll just admit that. Well, I haven't been to a Waffle House at 3 o'clock in probably 5, 8 years, maybe 10 years.
So we left there, got some gas, and then we went to the Murfreesboro Road Waffle House. Got there, I think, at about 3:17-ish.
2 minutes before the shooting.
We got our vehicles. We both saw the gold Silverado. I actually saw the silhouette of his face. But you can't really just, you know, judge a person just off of that. So
you didn't know he was naked yet then?
No.
We proceeded in.
Probably just saw the jacket.
At the high chairs, tabletops. I was sitting in like the first chair and my friend was sitting in like the third chair. We had a seat a chair in between us. And we distinctively remember the cook. Yeah, the cook was actually washing dishes, and he was stacking the plates.
Of course he was.
And he was
this guy goes in for a regular night, late night Waffle House interaction, sees this weirdo in the car outside, and has no idea what's about to happen. I mean, you couldn't expect that this was about to happen. They know that this guy moved to the Nashville area about last fall or so. They know he worked with some local construction company. They know that last year he was arrested outside the White House trying to demand a meeting with the president and talking about how he was a sovereign citizen, which
really?
Is a group of people who believe that they don't have to pay taxes because the government is illegitimate. And also that he was believed that he was not stalking Taylor Swift. He believed that Taylor Swift was stalking him. And because of all this, The police filed for an injunction and took all of his guns away, which is good, which is good. You see somebody who's crazy, who's mentally adrift, and who is has violent tendencies and delusions of grandeur, and you take away their weapons, including an AR-15. So for a while, nothing happened. But this guy's dad got his weapons and gave them back to his son.
Are you serious?
A son who he knew had mental issues. A son who he knew had violent tendencies. And gave his gun. And you want to talk about blood on your hands? If the father doesn't hit charges on this, if there's nothing for the father in terms of charges that he has to face, because he was the one who gave the gun back to this guy. The gun that he walked into this damn Waffle House with. And thank God we're hearing from the guy who was able to step up and stop this from being even worse than it was. That father is positively complicit in what happened at that Waffle House.
Pretty high up on the hood to where we were like, those are going to fall off. Well, at the same time he was doing that, another...
This is James Shaw Jr.
Waffle House employee was actually about to go on his break. And I heard him say, he said, I'm just going to go smoke a cigarette. I'll be right back. So when we first heard what I know now is the gunshot, we thought it was plates crashing because we had pretty much made that up in our minds that it was the plates were going to fall. Then the second one happened. Then a third one happened. I think that's when the glass busted and broke through.
Shot out the window.
The Waffle House employees scatter. Then I looked back and I saw a person laying on the ground right at the entrance of the door.
Now he knows it's not the plates.
So then I jumped pretty much and slid from the tabletop to the entrance of the door. And I think he let off some shots through the glass, and then he proceeded to come in. And then when he proceeded to come in, I actually went behind this like a push door, swivel door, and he shot through that door, I'm pretty sure, and I'm pretty sure he grazed my arm. And it was at that time that I kind of made up my mind, because there's no way to lock that door, that if it was going to come down to it, he was going to have to work to kill me.
Yeah, he said, I'm not letting this happen. I'm just going to sit here and get killed. And he ends up attacking this guy and stops the gunman, throws his gun over the counter. The gunman runs out and somehow, some way, has still not been found as of this moment. So thank God for that guy being there and having the courage to step up when he had an opportunity and making this a lower death toll probably than it could have been. But this guy's father is almost as complicit as the son who went in there and pulled the trigger in this exact case that we're discussing at the Waffle House shooting. And I just hope they get him before this gets any worse, because he's still believed to have maybe some kind of other weapon, because dad gave him not just the AR, but some other guns as well. So we'll see where this all goes. It makes you shake your head and you go, why? Why? I mean, all the information was there. It's well known to the state and to the federal authorities. And what do? You know, they do nothing to stop this. We'll get to your dispatches when we come back. Plus, a restaurant is apologizing for bullying a customer. What did they do? This is an interesting tactic that I'm seeing more and more restaurants get upset about. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Take a ride on the Bipolar Express.
Now here's the number.
Toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
I'm out here in the rain, and life is throwing stones at me. It's going down the drain. It's all become too much for me.
Well, check out your dispatches in just a moment. It was one of those weekends where it just dawned on me just how insane and ridiculous everything has gotten, and just shaking my head. I'm walking downtown, and I look over to the concert venue downtown, and I look on the marquee, and I see Bad Bobby or Danielle Bregoli's name on there.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, this girl got famous for going on Dr. Phil and just berating her mother and being as disrespectful and ridiculous and outlandish as you could possibly be. And because of that, she is now likely a multimillionaire with a massive social footprint. She is a budding music star and is touring the country, and now her name's on the marquee. And I go, what lesson does that send to kids out there? They're like, well, I could work my ass off, and I could study and study and study and study and try to go maybe get my doctorate or something and go after whatever field I want to be successful in and then hopefully make a little bit of money. Or I could just bring my family on Dr. Phil and completely lambast them in front of the world and act like a rude jerk, and then I'll get all the monies. I'll absolutely make it all. And then, because there's always an and then, I discovered Lil Tay, or Lil Tay. And Lil Tay is just a sign of the apocalypse, a sign of the end of the world, something that will give your grandfather or grandmother, your meemaw or peepaw, a heart attack immediately. If they see Lil Tay, I guarantee you, it's going to happen. If you get a phone call and it's like, grandma was doing so well, out of nowhere, she just died. She's dead. She's gone.
Aww.
And you go, why? Well, she saw Lil Tay's Instagram account. And this is this 9-year-old girl. I don't know what she does. And some of the articles say she's a little rapper, but I don't even think she's a rapper. I don't know. She's a little girl. She's 9 years old. And she has all these videos where she's cursing, where she's getting in the middle of the fights between, oh my God, the trinity of bad here. Lil Tay, this 9-year-old, Danielle Bregoli, that's the Cash Me Outside girl.
Mm-hmm, how about that?
And then Whoa Vicky,
oh my God,
who's the girl who got famous for saying that she was black and then just like a million fight videos.
She is crazy.
And probably millions and millions of followers on Instagram. And she got arrested in some news story not too long ago for something happened at the mall. Lil Tay, 9 years old, and she's got these videos. I start trolling through her Instagram. I go, oh my God. She's got like a handful of money. It's like a stack of money. And she's going around her house, which is just beautiful apartment with a great view. I had to get rid of some of the lines with curse words, so that got rid of a bunch of this, but here you go.
Let me tell y'all something. A toilet costs more than your rent. Everything in my bathroom costs more than your rent. And see, this is my closet. Everything here be designer. Gucci, Louis, Versace. And also, when I was 6 years old, I lived in Atlanta, and I was broke as hell.
Because you were six.
But one day I woke up, I said to myself, I ain't going to be broke no more. So I got up, and I started working hard, moving bricks. And now
moving
we be
bricks.
Living in the hills. See that view? Y'all don't have that view. And I be holding your mama's rent.
Wow.
That cost me a Lamborghini, and I work hard. So if y'all work hard, y'all can accomplish your dreams just like I did.
Hey, at least there's a positive message kind of buried in there. She's got other videos of her with a BMW. She's like, I be driving this around town. She's nine. She's nine. And you watch this, wow. And you go, I've entered another rung of hell here.
Is she a good rapper?
I don't know.
Does she have good flow?
I mean, I'm telling you, I don't even know that she is a rapper. They keep calling her a rapper. They say she was at Coachella. Like the first weekend of Coachella, you had the kid from Walmart who was doing the, what do they call it, yodeling or whatever. And then this round, they have this Lil Tay, and she was out there doing an appearance for somebody. Nobody knows her name. She pretends on social media that Miranda Cosgrove Nickelodeon star is her sister, but that's not true. Just keep your grandparents as far away from this as you can.
Hey, the hustle is real. It's 2018, you know?
And these kids are millionaires. They're millionaires from doing this. And now you go, hey, do you sit down your son or daughter and you go, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, obviously, I want to be like Danielle Bregoli.
And they obviously feel like they honestly deserve their millions.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm grinding over here. I'm working my ass off. Somebody said it's supposed to be Bad Bunny. It's Bad Bobby, right? Like it's
Barbie.
It's Barbie, like Bobby, spelled wrong.
Bad baby?
It's like bad and Barbie spelled
Bobby.
Wrong. But millions and millions and millions of people.
I think I'm going to go see her show.
Just for the freak show aspect of it?
Not even freak show, just like to really gather it is like what her success means, what a venue filled for what is supposed to be. And I don't even know if she performs. I'm pretty sure it's like lip syncing and a Q&A.
When you go to that show, What does the line outside the venue look like?
I don't know.
Talk about little kids?
It might be, but at the same time, I mean, she has two songs on the top 100.
That have gone gold.
So it might be adults, too. I have no idea. I have to go see for myself. I'll do research. I'll report for you the next day.
I am interested in hearing back on that, because I could just picture like a 55-year-old guy with his arms crossed out front waiting for the doors to open.
I would show up to that if they offered me some sort of media credential or complimentary pass. But I find I do not want to in any roundabout way put money in that girl's pocket.
No, you feel like you're making it worse.
Her.
You feel like somehow you're adding to the terror that is unfolding here. And mind you, when you see her, she's still, what is she? The Danielle Bregoli girl who's performing downtown Orlando in a couple of weeks. What is she, 16 now?
15,
16, something like that. And she's all of like 4'10". She's a tiny little thing.
She is. And I totally get where people are angered by the whole thing, but it's not like she went on Dr. Phil and knew for sure that it was going to blow up. I mean, she had this catchphrase that just blew up. Someone made a trap remix. All of a sudden, someone's like, hey, let's keep filming her and see what happens.
Yeah.
So you have to give it to her strong publisher or PR person that took her tiny little phrase and being a bitch to her mom at 13 years old and blew it up to what it is now.
Muffin Lady goes, isn't she supposed to be in school? And I go, honest to God, if you were her parents, why would you want her in school? She's out here making millions of dollars. Do it now. Hit the ground, run with it, make all your money, because now is the time when you're going to make it. In a couple of years, nobody's going to have any idea what you're up to. Here's Fedora the Explorer with the dispatch.
So I was just listening to one of the promos early in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm coming off of third shift, and I hear Celine talking about Disney movies, Moana and such, and then he says something about Belle discovering beast genitals.
Oh, man, I don't remember.
It was
those.
A very disturbing thing, and I will never go see that.
Gentleness.
Have a good day.
Gentleness.
Yeah. Look, who knows? Those promos. God only knows what's in there.
He's not even talking about our promo.
He's not? Somebody else? All right, here's Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to say happy Sunday.
Sunday?
Hope you guys are enjoying your weekend and not working as hard as me. I'll be off in a couple hours, though, so it's all good. But I hope you guys had a good 420.
Yeah, man.
We'll catch y'all on Monday.
A little behind because of that. Here it is, Monday. Here's Loki.
Junkies. Just checking in. Had a fantastic weekend.
Good.
Buddy of mine gave me the little blue pill and took half, and my girl and I banged for like 6 hours.
Okay, come on, man.
Good for you.
Oh, come on, let him tell the story. I want to hear it. I'm on pins and needles.
I like the idea that he goes, I know who I have to share this with. I know where to go with this story. I've got to go and send a dispatch in.
Is it even worse if she's involved? Like, babe, that was 6 hours. And she goes, yeah, call the news junkie. Yeah,
you know, you need to get your dispatch in now before the Monday flood begins to arise. Well, thank you.
Sounds like it was a Saturday or Sunday flood.
Thank you for that, I think. A restaurant is apologizing for sharing the name, email, and phone number of a diner who didn't turn up after she threatened to report them for it. They had posted this on social media. It was a place called Bully's, but Bully's Restaurant. I don't know if they, well, actually, I thought for a second maybe they go with that as a theme, but it's Mr. Bullmore, the guy who owns this, Russell Bullmore. And he had a customer named Emily who had a reservation and didn't show up for it. And so said, here's what I'm going to do. From now on, I'm going to start sharing the information to these people who don't show up for the reservations.
Oh, come on.
And name and shame them online. He also called her a selfish cow as he posted this and did not block out her personal phone number that was part of the reservation. And, of course, that blew up into a gigantic thing very, very quickly for them. And the backlash was swift. They shared an apology on the same social media sites after getting that backlash. I get it. I know a lot of these places are because there are people out there now. Reservations are not treated in the same way that they were. Like 20 years ago, you made a reservation at a place, You were like, I have to live up to this. No, come hell or high water, I'm going, and I'm going to be there for this reservation I have. And now you've got OpenTable and other apps, and sometimes people will do 2-3 reservations. They'll go, all right, let's get one at this place, let's get one at this place, and then when we get the group of people together, we'll decide which table of 8 we actually want to show up to. And the restaurants are getting pissed off about that. I get it. But you don't name and shame and put their personal information out like that. Mm-mm. And think that the public at large is not going to get super pissed off. Also, I was on Saturday. I went to Universal Studios, which, I don't know, man. I don't know if you guys saw over the weekend, but there's some new ISIS poster with like all their targets, things that they say they're going to go after.
I'm sorry, an ISIS poster where?
They make their own media posters for online. And amongst all the other targets that they listed on this thing, they had like the logos of them. One of the targets was the Universal Studios logo. And you go, oh my God. Like, obviously, they just do this all the time. And they had just this weird grouping. They had NATO, NASA, CNN, the United Nations, the Federal Reserve, and Universal Studios Hollywood. So the West Coast outlet. And they were threatening those locations, saying, those who believe, fight in the way of Allah, and those who disbelieve, fight in the way of Taghut, on Islamic rulers, according to the poster. But I go there, and I'm walking around, and I go, what the hell's going on here? Why is everybody so dressed up? And then it hits me. I go, ah, it's prom.
Was it prom?
It was prom. So all these young guys in tuxes and these women in these big elaborate dresses. And of course, because you have to walk so far at Universal, all of them have like tennis shoes on, or they're holding heels in their hands, and everybody walking all over the place around the Universal City Walk area as they were getting ready for prom.
But they had the prom at one of the clubs there?
I guess so.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've seen that before.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, is it at Hard Rock?
No, it's probably at the Grove.
The Grove.
Like one of the places up top there where nobody actually goes to that section all that much. Maybe they have it for stuff like this. So they were all over the place down there, as were young kids going to prom all over the country. And you see all these photos with, here's dad and mom with a kid getting sent off. And it's big time of year for that stuff. There was one person in particular who wanted to share a photo of their prom night moment with their daughter. Aww. That exploded into a whole bunch of drama. Why, what, who, where, when, all that stuff. The details you need to know next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
City travels to Commerce City to battle it out with the Colorado Rapids this Sunday. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. on Real Radio 104.1 and iHeart Radio. Real Radio 104.1. Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Sports heavy for just a moment of time, and I didn't know just how sporty Mr. Christopher Lane actually is. I see this, tipsofthenewsjunkie.com, and somebody says, I need some advice. My daughter was all excited to start soccer practice tomorrow, but now that I have the information sheet and I see who the coach is, ... I'm going to try to convince her to find a different sport. What do you think? The coaches for her soccer team, coach number one, Jason Moreno. Coach number two, Christopher Lane.
All right. Me and Jason are going to take this team to the championship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of the, what league is it?
Mini soccer league?
Mini soccer championship. We're going to get a mini trophy.
I'm sorry, it's the Northland United Soccer Club.
Uh-huh. And if the kids lose, ice cream party still.
Oh, that's good. All right. So maybe you might be on to something better than you thought here. Thank you for the email. I did not know C-Lane was getting into the world of soccer coaching, but perhaps he is.
I'm a man of many hats.
I guess so. The CBS football analyst that I was talking about before the break is Jay Feely. He was getting his daughter and her date ready for the prom, took a photo outside, posted it on Instagram, and the former NFL kicker had a gun in his hand, and he posted this along with the actual photo. Wishing my beautiful daughter and her date a great time at prom with the hashtag bad boys at the end of it. Now, obviously, he's just kidding around, and it's the age-old thing of don't mess with my daughter, and I'm a protective dad kind of thing. But people got upset. He ended up deleting it and then apologizing for it. He said this, the prom picture I posted was obviously intended to be a joke. My daughter has dated her boyfriend for over a year, and they knew I was joking. I take gun safety seriously. The gun was not loaded and had no clip in, and I did not intend to be insensitive to that important issue. So we felt enough pressure at least to go ahead and apologize. Here's more.
Former Cardinals kicker Jay Feely has started a firestorm on Twitter after posting this picture of himself last night. Check it out. He's holding a pistol next to his daughter and her prom date. The caption, wishing my beautiful daughter and her date a great time at prom. Hashtag bad boys. After thousands of negative responses, Feely issued an apology this morning, saying in part, the prom picture I posted was obviously intended to be a joke. I take gun safety seriously, and I did not intend to be insensitive to that important issue.
So he tries to post this, just joking around, and hordes of people get upset about it. The idea that you have to say it was a joke, I mean, obviously it was a joke.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Had this photo been an old photo from the 60s, everybody would be like, oh, how funny.
Like a shotgun or something.
You know, look at that, classic dad. But nowadays, you just can't post stuff like that. I realize that everybody is taking things too seriously sometimes, but you have to kind of prepare yourself for a reaction like that.
Well, especially when you're in the media eye.
You prepare yourself for a reaction, but if you want to do it, I mean, just... You're gonna have to take it with a grain of salt.
Well, that's what I've said. I've always said if you're gonna do something like this, and you honestly don't think you did anything wrong, just be as unapologetic as ever about it. Just go, this was clearly a joke. Buzz off with the nonsense.
It was a joke. Sorry, your butt hurt. Right. The kid thinks it's funny. His parents think it's funny. My kid thinks it's funny.
Well, what happens is they start to see that reaction, and anybody who he works with, like any media outlets, go, hey man, what is this? We don't need this. We're just trying to run a business over here. What do you got going on? And then he goes, oh, no. And then the apology comes out, and God, it could have been a nice little thing, and people could have been connecting to it because other families are going through prom, and it turned into something totally different, an unfortunate side effect of the current climate here. Speaking of sports, and this time we go over to baseball.
A one and a two.
Baseball.
And a three.
The ultimate American sport, taking you out to the ball game week after week after week. And baseball has been widely criticized for one thing in particular. It's slow.
It takes a while.
Boring. It's more fun to watch in person, I think, than on TV. I think baseball is the only sport like that for me. You're like, I would way rather go and watch a live baseball game, hang out and have some drinks and stuff, then watch it on TV. It's just too slow. And it got even slower. It got way as slow as it's ever gotten in a West Coast matchup between the Los Angeles Angels and the San Francisco Giants. Now, there was a batter up, and it was for the Giants. He had the longest bat in Major League Baseball history.
Really?
21 pitches while he was at the plate.
How?
He fouled off 16 of them. He, at one point, fouled off 10 in a row. And so think about this. Pitch, fouls off. Lands. They talk for a little while. The pitcher gets another ball. He looks at the catcher. They're doing the signals back and forth. I don't have the time and the story in front of me, but I saw another story. Make sure I'm not wrong on this, if you will, please. Look up Brandon Belt. I think the 21 pitches from rookie pitcher Jamie Barria, I think it took 21 minutes. But
13.
13 minutes? Okay. 13 minutes. One batter. One person up the bat. 13 minutes went by.
That's kind of annoying.
And they just kept fouling him off one after another after another. And that's
I thought
it.
There was a limit on how many times you could foul, or is that kickball
no.
rules?
Yeah, you can't foul. A foul cannot be the cause of your third strike. Mm-mm. And so you could just keep fouling for as long as it would take. And in this case, 21 pitches for the longest at bat in Major League Baseball history. I could see sitting there going, all right, buddy, just swing at the air. Just take the strike at this point, please. This is becoming frustrating. And the final sports story.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I know, so many sporty day here on a Monday. Over to the White Sox, where pitcher, Danny Farquhar. Please let that be right. Age 31, the Chicago White Sox pitcher. It's one of those stories that makes you think about life. Just sitting there in the dugout, mm-hmm. hanging out, has a brain hemorrhage during the game, during the sixth inning of the game. And they said they brought him to the Rush University Medical Center. He had a ruptured aneurysm that caused the brain to bleed. Just out of nowhere, this guy is in the dugout. He's a young, healthy baseball player. And bam, aneurysm. Just like that, bleeding in the brain. Currently stable, at least at the point of this thing. This is a day or so ago now. They said the visiting player saw him just throw it up. All of a sudden, he's getting sick. And they go, what's happening? And then, boom, he passes out and ends up in critical condition because of a brain hemorrhage. Let's see if there's any updates. I know his last name's not easy to spell. Danny, Farquhar. It's a freak situation.
As Deadspin posted 4 minutes ago saying that he is in the fight of his life after this hemorrhage. So I'm not saying much update.
Man, that just sucks. That happened during Friday night's game. And the guy's still in critical condition, it would seem. Just out of nowhere, that happens to him.
And those are, I think, one of my biggest fears. Because I've yet to hear, you know, what's the sign? What are you looking for? Is it a, you know, you're feeling like it's a headache, or all of a sudden you're just standing there and walking. I mean, obviously this is an athletic person, probably takes care of himself, I would assume, considering he's a professional baseball player.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Know somebody who recently suffered a brain aneurysm, and if it wasn't for that person realizing something was off and taking themselves to the hospital, they would have been dead.
That's freaky.
It's
freaky, and there's nothing really that you can do about it. I remember my Uncle Joe, up in Vermont, in Burlington, where he lived, he had this neighbor, and he would take the neighbor out with him, this neighbor kid. I think it was about 10, 12 years old or something. And my Uncle Joe was a big into bass fishing. So he took his kid out, he took the neighbor kid out, and they went bass fishing. Or they were going for actually walleye, which is a big fish that they go after in Vermont. And this little kid is having the time of his life. I guess his parents didn't do this with him that often. And he said all of a sudden, the kid just twisted around and threw up. And he said, then the kid was like, I'm feeling really dizzy, and then threw up again. And same thing, was having a brain aneurysm while on this bass boat. And so he had to drive back in and, you know, bring the kid to the hospital. Same thing. And it's just, God, man, there's nothing you could do. And that's unfortunate. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he gets to fight through this. And it just makes people aware of, even though you think you're healthy sometimes, it's just not what you would imagine it to be in any moment there. Take every single moment of your life and make the absolute most of it would be the lesson that you could learn from this. When we come back, some stunning audio of the gunman who opened fire on this Ocala school, the Forest High School. This happened on Friday during the show. Generally, you don't hear from these people. This is very, very interesting, because we're hearing from the person who was responsible for this. And not only that, they tell us a really bizarre way that they got the weapon that was involved in this. Something we can learn from for sure. Stick around for this. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
From
Real Radio.
He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
We'll get to this audio of what happened with the Forest High shooter and where he got his gun from, all this stuff, in a little bit. I'll save that because it is Monday and it is noon. Let's welcome Amy Kaufeld from Fox 35.
I missed you guys.
I know.
I missed you so much, Amy.
When just a week goes by, I realize.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's it?
It was 2 weeks.
It's been two.
Oh,
that's why it felt like
I know. It felt like an eternity.
Felt like a hole in my heart. And I just sit here on Monday sometimes and I go, all right, let's get everything set up for Amy Kaufeld. And Celia will go to get the headphones. We'll go, oh, man, she's not coming in today.
I like it's very Smurfy in here.
Yes,
I like what you guys have done with the place.
They've changed the microphones in here to, they decided, hey, we're going to put some of these windscreens on the microphones in the studio. And they went with like the strangest Smurf blue.
Yep, I was going to say it. And the way that it's tied off, I mean... We can't help but think.
I don't understand. I mean, do you guys get like a lot of wind in here?
No, it's the crust.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want people coughing and spitting into the microphones anymore. So now everyone just soaks it up in the blue thing.
Yeah, in a way, be glad because staring directly into this mic without this cover on it is like looking into the depths of hell itself. There are some vile things and creatures in there. So maybe we're better off.
I should take a picture of it so people know what we're talking
about.
Have you guys already posted pictures of the blue thing?
No.
Oh, no.
No, this is exclusive. This is an exclusive right here.
You can have this scoop if you want.
And anybody who's good at Photoshop.
You have a scared look at this
No, can
picture.
You, no, it's why do you take
one.
The worst pictures
it's
of me?
A good
no.
One here.
Let me pose for the photo.
Hold on.
I think you were taking a selfie.
Here we go.
All right, here.
No, I'm not a selfie.
Cheese.
Oh, hold on. I don't have your thumbs. Okay, here we go.
Okay, get them in there.
Okay, now we got it.
Now put both your hands around the microphone and open your mouth a little bit.
Stop it. That's reminding me of the picture from last week.
The corn dog?
Yeah, the corn dog.
Did you see this?
No.
I finally got my corn dog. Celia was nice enough. He goes to get breakfast one morning, goes, they have corn dogs, brings one in, and I eat the corn dog, and I take a picture on Instagram, and of all the trolls, Amy Kaufeld is trolling me.
Amy K with the win.
I told you I missed you.
What did she say?
She goes, oh, I don't know if I'd take a picture like that and put it up here. People are going to Photoshop me. I'm like, people are already going to Photoshop me.
It's true. It's
I don't need the corn dog photo to make it work.
It's kind of a small corn dog. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know. Like,
wasn't very big.
I'll take what I can get, I guess.
I'm so happy you're back.
I missed you guys.
She comes back after 2 weeks and goes right to roasting me. Just let's really go full
fledged. You
don't
really roast a corn dog, though.
Okay. All right. So how are things been? What do we miss?
Good. I think just crazy, the usual craziness.
Yeah.
Nothing too exciting.
Nothing exciting this weekend?
No. It was kind of, you know what I do in the weekend? I go to the baseball park.
I
go to the softball park. It's
sports,
every
sports.
Weekend. I just heard your story as I was driving in about the guy who was the pitcher that was, or the guy was at bat for 13 minutes. That's insane.
Yeah, it just went on and on and
That's
on.
That's like T-ball. They just let the kids hit over and over and over again until they finally hit it.
Not that I was actually watching the game, but I mean, to just see that it hit some sort of history
minutes,
mark.
Yeah.
And afterwards, speaking of the sports stuff, I was downtown after the Orlando City game let out this weekend. Have you been to an Orlando City game in person?
I have. Yeah, I didn't go last year. I went the year before.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And the crowd, I mean, Sabrina was there doing the stuff on the big screen. The crowd for this game was insane.
Oh, yeah. Saturday.
More than usual?
It was sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, every single seat in that stand was filled, and it was a fantastic game.
I mean, now that we're winning again.
Four in a row?
Orlando likes winning, see.
Who doesn't?
We're not the kind of, like, Boston-esque fans who will fill Red Sox games while they spend a whole century losing.
Yeah.
We like winning, and we're not going to show up unless you start doing it. So now that we have three matches in a row that we've won.
I think it's four,
four,
right?
Yeah,
this,
four.
This one was number four, filling the stands to watch a fourth one.
Well, I think it's also worth noting that the Orlando Pride also won yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, and we need to start filling up those seats. It was 90s night, and... Boy, did I really go hard.
Okay. What did you, what were you wearing?
I brought costume changes.
You did?
So every time I would get on the jumbo screen, I would have a new piece of 90s article on me, like a choker or a jean vest.
Yes.
And everybody who showed up, thank you for doing so, because they were in 90s gear too. They redid their entire logo to look like the Rugrats. So I'm like, Orlando Pride needs that love too, because they're kicking ass.
Well, after the Orlando City game, that flood of people downtown, like a zombie walk, is so crazy. And I'm sitting there watching just never-ending line of people, including the incredibly drunk guy who decided to sit right next to me at the Mexican place down there.
Oh, it's a bad combination.
He sits there, and the whole time he's sitting, he was on my lap, and his girlfriend was next to him, and they were just sucking face.
He was sitting on your lap?
Yes, he was like leaning into me.
That's creepy.
As they were making out. Oh, my good God.
Weren't they baby birding, too?
Yes, he baby birded food into his girlfriend's mouth.
Who hasn't?
And then he ordered a veggie burger, which is not on the menu at this place, and they brought out a hamburger bun and a whole bunch of veggies, and just like smashed them together and made his, oh, it was a whole thing to behold. Be lucky you didn't do that.
Okay.
This weekend. You didn't have to deal with that. What else is happening?
Oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about. Well, okay, so you teased a little bit of the story about what happened at Forest High School in Ocala. Obviously, as you guys mentioned, it was breaking news during your show on Friday. It was breaking news during ours as well, as those details started coming in. And then we ended up sitting down with Sky Boucher from Behind Bars on Friday night. About 11 o'clock at night is when we ended up doing that interview, which is crazy.
Very interesting that he's speaking with everybody.
Well, okay, so here's the deal, Sean. So this guy makes no qualms about it, that he did it. He's like, I did it. Mm-hmm. Here's why I did it. He claims to be mentally ill. He says that he knew he was going to snap, and he figured this was the best way to get himself away from society.
Yeah.
So he says he admittedly walked in there. He didn't actually intend to hurt anyone, that he shot through this door, that the bullet went through the door. He said he didn't even mean to hit this kid in the ankle, which he did. And he then literally threw the gun down and put his hands up in the hallway. So there was a teacher who came out into the hallway. She's not getting a lot of attention, but I want to make sure I mention her.
Because didn't they originally say, as the story was breaking, which there's always a lot of mistakes that happen in real time, but that the school resource officer was involved?
They did. And he did show up, but it was 3 minutes. And during that 3 minutes, he spent time talking to Kelly McManus Panasik is her name. She says that she heard the noise. She came out in the hallway. She saw Sky. She recognized him as one of her former students.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Sky, what's going on? What's happening out here? And that's when he confessed to her, I just shot through the door. I'm mentally ill. I need help. I want to be arrested. And then it was within that time frame that she stood there and she was like, okay, hold on. She's the one who called to make sure they knew to come here. Come right outside my classroom. He's right here. And then the SRO, the student resource officer, came over and took the guy into custody without any issues because the kid was like, I need to be arrested. I need to be in jail.
He said he was going to try to do some sort of mass shooting on the 13th, I think, and then ended up just kind of winging it with this and put a gun into a guitar case. And I mean, there's a lot about this, Rico. I mean, all of these people are very similar in many ways, but very different in others. And it seemed like as he went into the school, as he fired that first shot from this gun, he kind of just changed his mind.
Yeah.
And thankfully that teacher was there and was able to just have a conversation with him.
She was very calm and just very patient with him and you know, probably stopped him from doing something worse. Who knows? I mean, at that point, it sounds like he was already like, okay, I'm not going to do this. But it's eerie because you're right. It reminds me that there are so many people like this in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We look at what happened in Nashville this weekend, a very similar situation where a guy who was clearly mentally ill had no business having those guns. His father admits he gave him back the guns, even though he told the FBI he would keep the guns away from him.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
I mean, it's frightening. It's just frightening, the stuff that we find out after the fact, you know? So we're following that story closely today. Obviously, a lot of extra security on campus. The kids are really nervous. You can imagine going back to school this morning,
God,
having had this happen. Thank God it was not worse, but still very scary.
What a time to be a kid in school. What a time for that. Because even though you might say, all right, look, is there actually a bigger threat to this happening or is it a whole bunch of media hype? No matter what the case may be, it's like after 9/11, you talk about that moment a lot, where everybody was scared. Even in Orlando, you're going, oh my God, is there something going to happen here? Yeah. And these kids see all these stories, and now they go to school on edge all the time. And today, I'm sure a lot of them, you know, maybe even more so than ever, are on edge.
Well, we didn't have something that to be hugely afraid of. There weren't a lot of school shootings when I was in school. There was Columbine, but there wasn't this amount of gun violence. So, like, before my time in the 80s, it was a nuclear blast. So the Cold War was going on, and the duct tape was going to save you, and you could just hide under your desk.
No worries.
If a nuke goes off, that fizzled off. Now it's what to do in the case of an active shooter, and there's all kinds of drills and tests and things they have to go through to learn what to do if that breaks out. in my time, there was not that.
No.
We didn't have anything kind of biting at our ankles.
You're
going.
Right. We're more worried about tornado drills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, getting under your desk and putting your hands over your head.
And just the idea of even doing something that is a good idea to do and bring these kids through the ropes and show them what to do if an active shooter situation did break out. That kind of sticks in your head, you know, and you go, oh, God.
That's awful.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
hopefully awful. Nobody has to deal with this.
Scary for parents, too. And then this happened over the weekend in Marion County, as if they were dealing with enough already with what happened in Ocala on Friday. Then they ended up, this deputy is out trying to break up the crowd outside of a bar. It was called the Paradise Bar. This is early Sunday morning. And as he's trying to break up the crowd and get people to disperse and go home, someone starts shooting at the deputy.
Great.
Of course, you guys remember what happened in Gilchrist County just a couple days before that. So all these poor guys are all on edge, too, you can imagine. So they're still trying to figure out who it was. There's bullet holes in the side of this deputy's vehicle. But they at this point do not know who shot at the deputy. So they're still trying to figure that out. So they've got asking for help on that case, too.
There's too many people that are just okay with shooting other people. I don't know why that is. I mean, it's a big question about mental health and about aggression in society and about things that are very complicated and complex.
I just feel like
it sucks
not being processed the outcome of shooting a gun. Like, people just immediately think this is the way I'm going to get an answer, sure, not processing the fact that it could actually kill somebody or really do some damage to people.
Or they don't care, which makes me even more scared, that they just don't care. Like, the life means nothing.
Or that the decision in that moment is going to have such a huge impact on the rest of their lives. You know, they're going to be behind bars. This guy at the Waffle House who you brought up outside of Nashville in Antioch, which is where they had a church shooting not all that long ago, this guy... What a litany of things in his past. They said not too long ago he showed up in a pink tutu on a guy's front porch with a gun. And the guy's like, what the hell is happening?
Disturbing, Sean. But this is what bothers me about it is that, again, it goes back to the red flags. It's like the Nicholas Cruz case. How many red flags do we need to put somebody away so that they don't do damage? This guy was going to do damage.
Or even when you have the laws in place to take the weapons from them, then somebody else in their family circle can either have other weapons or give them back, as the father did in this case. And the only solution to this that I see is you have to be harder on the punishment of people who are not properly securing their weapons or are giving somebody like this, giving his son back the weapon that was used as a weapon of murder, not just a couple of weeks after he did.
How do you not hold this dad responsible? How do you not hold him responsible?
You have to.
He told the FBI, I will keep these weapons secured and away from my son. And then he admitted he gave them back. It's one thing if the kid broke into the gun safe, whatever. He admits he gave the weapons back to him.
Did he have a reason? Giving them back?
Who knows? They haven't gone into that yet. But just the idea that was what happened, that the government said this kid cannot have this AR-15, that dad goes, damn the government, I'm giving it to you. You've been good this week. And gives him the weapon. And then he goes and shoots up this Waffle House and kills four people.
Yeah, crazy.
You know, then you go, what the hell? You know, so the people who are responsible for those weapons, there's another god-awful story about some young kid. There's a guy who goes into a grocery store or wherever and leaves his wife and a kid in the car, and he has a handgun down in the center console. I don't remember all the details, but the three-year-old, this little kid, however old the kid was, grabbed the gun and shot mom, and the mom didn't know the gun was there, all this stuff. It's like, that is the person's fault who left that weapon behind. And they need to go after those people with no mercy until more people realize you can't do this stuff. Sorry for the tangent. But,
it's true. It's absolutely insane. And until we get to a point in our society where we learn from our mistakes and we learn to secure this stuff so that it doesn't happen, we're going to continue to do these same headlines over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know people get on you all the time, as they do me and anybody else who talks about this stuff. It's like, oh, look at all these bad things that are happening in the world. And you're talking about all this bad stuff. Like, look. Some days you wake up and this is just what's happening. This is what's there. And until you actually address it and try to, you know, make something better out of what's happening here, I think you're kind of screwed in a way. So hopefully we somehow head in that direction. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Make sure you're checking out this story and all the rest over at Fox35Orlando.com, Fox35Orlando.com. And waking up every single morning with Amy Caulfield and the crew at Fox 35. Thank you. Good to see you again.
Can't wait to come back with the Smurf microphone.
Yes. Don't be a stranger this time, please.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
We'll see you very soon. Week. Back in a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie.
What the hell is happening on the northern portion of the continent of Africa right now? We had a leader who was mentioned, I think, on Thursday or Friday on the show, who said that he wanted to make oral sex illegal, said your mouth is not for that, and this is not something that you're supposed to do, and he wanted to make it an illegal act to participate in oral sex on either side of things. And now we have our friends over in Tanzania, and Tanzania manages to stay out of the news. They truly do.
I think it's Tanzania.
Tanzania? I always say Tanzania,
you
though.
Do.
Tanzania.
Because they're zany.
Tanzania. Tanzania sounds more fun, if I'm honest. Tanzania issued a warning over the weekend that all online media creators, including online radio providers or bloggers or online news websites, they have just 2 weeks to register with the government of Tanzania and shut down. Registration and license fees are about $920.
Oh.
So if you want to continue on in Tanzania with being a media outlet, you have to pay $920, which is what the average Tanzanian earns in an entire year. Trip me up not to say Tanzania. Tanzanian earns in an entire year. The new law allows for punishments of up to a year in prison and 5 million shillings, which inflation, $2,180.
So we, you know, the News Junkie would be part of that. We would have to pay. Now, if you're a YouTube star that's big in Tanzania, you have to pay that, or you have to be a resident there?
I think it would have to be anybody. Anybody, well, if you live there and you're an online creator, anybody has to now pay that, what's the equivalent of a year's earnings for somebody in this country. And they're doing this, quite obviously, to shut down any kind of opposition in the media as they take a turn to the right in Tanzania. There's some chaos happening in the entire continent of Africa, starting from the wild situation that continues to unfold in South Africa, up into the Northeast, and then over even into Tanzania as well. Let's get this done quickly because I'm tired of talking about school shooters. I hate that I even have to say that. But the guy who, the 19-year-old, who shot up the high school on Friday in Ocala. Now, this was it Park Hill? I'm sorry, Forest High School is the school that this happened at. And he went in, he had a gun in a guitar case. He went into the bathroom, put a ballistics vest on. And he goes over to the window of the classroom and I guess fires through. And he ends up hitting somebody. Everybody's all right. You know, just scared, shaken up. But he's, as Amy Caulfield said, he's talking. He's talking. He's doing interviews with all these media outlets. And he's just letting all the information out there. It's very interesting to hear. And important, probably. Now, get an idea of where some of these people are coming from. You have to understand where these people are coming from, not to justify what they're doing or have done, but to understand it so you could better stop it. And one of the things that he mentions in this interview is how he got his gun. And I thought that was real interesting and something worth noting. Here he is, though, talking about how it all happened.
Out there who are scared because of what you did today.
I don't know if it's going to make it any better. I could say sorry all I want, but it doesn't matter now.
Do you feel sorry? Do you feel remorseful?
Yeah. That's why I put down the gun. I could have kept going. There was no officers there to stop me. I put it down because there was a girl there. She didn't run from me. She just, you know, I shot through the door. I could have shot her, but I don't know.
God, I just
couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So I just shot through the door.
Thank God.
She was walking and crying and walking away, and that just made me just throw down the gun instead of pumping it. kept, you know, instead of shooting more doors.
Not fully psychotic.
I stopped, and I gave myself to a teacher.
Now that this has ended the way that it did, what do you have to say to the 17-year-old who was
I didn't see him.
He didn't even know that he shot this 17-year-old.
Really?
He just fired through the door, and he didn't even know that a bullet had hit this guy.
But
so that was unintentional, what happened there?
It was just through the door. But I heard someone screaming like they were hurt, because I never heard that scream before. So, but what I got to say to him is nothing. He's just going to think whatever he wants about me. I don't.
Are you sorry for hurting him?
Yeah, but.
Shook his head, yes.
He can hate me all he wants. It doesn't matter anymore.
You say that you have a mental health problem. That's something that, I mean, do you want help for that? What?
It's not really my mental or disease or anything like that. It's just being around stuff that, you know, a child shouldn't be around.
Let's do this.
My first memory is violence and conflict. That's my first memory. Mm. And no one will believe me. And that's one of the reasons people don't take me serious.
Now, hang on for just a second here, because he tells how he got the idea to get the gun, where he learned all this from.
Tell people one of my first memories are violence and conflict. They don't believe me. But
Sky, how'd you get a gun?
I took a piece of this out, and it's not in the name of censorship or misleading anybody or anything like that. I took a piece of this out because it furthers the problem. In a second, he's going to say a workaround he learned. He learned a way that he could get a gun, and he learned this workaround, and they went and did it, and he mentioned the website. And I thought to myself, okay, this just furthers that problem, because now more people hear about this. And even though there's been some changes in the law, it still could make this a situation that's getting worse with more people learning how to do these
things. I was watching Vice News, and they showed ways how to get a gun, and they are without a background check. They showed gun shows, which they do require background checks, but then they showed this website where you get private sales with anyone in your state.
So Vice News is doing a piece about, hey, look how dangerous this is. You can get a gun without a background check. And they find this website that solicitates meetups for personal sales, one person selling a gun to another person, and tells him about it, and he goes, fantastic.
Really?
And uses that he learned from Vice News to go and get the gun that he ended up using in this shooting. And just thank God it wasn't a more powerful weapon than it was. It was some old gun.
Oh, it's just a messaging, so it's not like... It's not, you're not buying guns online, just meeting people to sell you the guns, and that's how I got it.
That's how you got it. Do you feel that you should have had a gun?
No, sir.
No. What do you foresee in your future now, after today?
Solitary.
Solitary, he says. So, yeah, he learned from one of these articles. When all these news outlets go, look how easy it is to obtain a weapon, and then they show you. Some people are watching that and taking notes, writing down things. Maybe don't tell them the websites. Half of this would have been fixed with the law, because he made sure he purchased this gun before the age was raised in the state of Florida to 21, even though you could say in a personal sale or a private sale, hey, I thought the person was 21 years old. But, you know, this is one of the issues here. Sometimes we're giving information out to show how bad things are, and we unknowingly, or maybe knowingly, inform somebody how to do something that perpetuates the problem.
Yeah, which is a shame, because that wasn't the intention at all.
No.
But do you think that had it not been for the Vice piece that he saw, that it wouldn't have happened? He could have gone a step further and Googled it.
He could have Googled private gun sale form, this, that. But what happens is sometimes you just make it easier and you put the information out there. I think sometimes withholding some of that information is not a bad thing. You go, look, there's a website out there that does X, Y, and Z without necessarily mentioning it. And hopefully we can fix some of the problems that lead to all of this occurring to begin with. All right, there's that. It's out of the way. When we come back, another direction entirely, I promise. An orgy raided. What happened? Who was there? And some See It Now photos from inside the bust where a bunch of naked people got arrested, plus the next episode with Sabrina. Stay where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Making up for a lack of formal education by purchasing the first and subsequent rounds, you're listening to the News Junkie.
The next episode with Sabrina in just a moment, and a story breaking over the weekend with some visuals that are very, very odd. Dramatic footage shows the moment police raided an illegal orgy at a hotel in Thailand, catching middle-aged British men with young Thai women. And I keep saying young in this, but they don't say anything about them being underage. They say images from the raid, often from Pattaya, often referred to as the sex capital of the world, show middle-aged...
Oh, I want to go to there.
The middle-aged Brits sweating heavily and rushing to cover themselves up. Everybody is naked, like they busted in the middle of an orgy. And all these photos of people like, oh, no, like the camera's not supposed to be in here.
Okay, so orgies over there, illegal, unless you have some sort of orgy permit.
It says that they were running the hotel illegally and hosting sex parties. It looks like everybody was a willing participant and nobody was underage.
If nobody was underage, I think maybe if prostitution is illegal over there, the guys did pay, I think, $50,
yeah,
which seems like a bargain, yeah, it's not for a bad an deal. Orgy.
Not a bad deal. It's $50 and you could see all the people that were busted in this.
Maybe it's like splitting an Uber. Like you pay more to have the one-on-one sexual experience, but if it's going to be a group thing, we could all kind of absorb some of the costs.
Yeah, you only need one place to do it at. Everybody gets together. The sex party interrupted, unfortunately, by police coming in and handcuffs of being thrown around. Check out the photos on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. One dispatch real quick. Here's Nurse Jam.
So, happy Monday, guys.
You too.
Last week I had called in and made the comment about getting into my car and conking my head.
Oh, no. And, not again.
Apparently, the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. My child was trying to get in with his grandmother this morning and somehow caught his foot on the van, tumbled, bent his foot backwards, and right now we're waiting on x-ray results. At the very least, we have a pretty bad sprain, and at most, we have a broken foot.
Don't do this.
So this is my Monday. It was bound to happen sooner or later. We've gotten through 9 years without anything broken, but anyway, listening to you guys is at least making my day a little bit better, so
good.
Carry on. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Nurse Jan and family, please be careful over there. You guys are banging yourselves up, your feet, your heads, everything. We're going to get through this week without any more damages to anybody in the family, hopefully. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Protocol and execution, blah, 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 anal plug, blah, 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 blah.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. Are you ready for the next episode?
Well, went higher there.
Yeah, but barely. 118 years ago, 1900. The word hillbilly was first used in a newspaper and an article in the New York Journal. I just thought that was interesting, and I wanted to share with both of you.
Was there a guy named Billy in the story?
No, it was just hillbilly. I think it was to describe somebody.
I would imagine it was a gentleman named William who goes
on a hill, right?
Yeah, on a hill.
That's what I would have guessed.
Hillbilly, mountain billy, goat. I do not know. I didn't get the details. 13 years ago, though you may be more familiar with this, 2005, the very first video on...
Let's try again.
YouTube, yeah.
YouTube was posted. Extra candy for...
I know what it was.
It was.
I know. Do you know?
I forget.
I'm almost sure. Damn it, now I've gone out on a limb and said, I believe it was an elephant at the zoo or something.
Ooh, Sean on the money. It was an 18-second clip. One of the co-founders standing in front of an elephant pen at the San Diego Zoo.
Mm-hmm. And I think he actually made mention in the video of the elephant's penis size or something. That was the first video on YouTube.
And it would not be the last mention of an elephant penis. Jennifer Aniston has been seen wearing a wrist brace recently. Also pictures Brad Pitt, who has been spotted wearing a permanent grin. No word if the two are related. That was an old-fashioned joke for Christopher. Beyonce fell.
Oh, that's old-fashioned.
Beyonce fell during her set at Coachella over the weekend. Critics are now calling it the greatest fall in the history of falling. So congratulations to Beyonce. And some sad news to share, as I'm sure a lot of you have heard.
It's a bad weekend for this kind of stuff, huh?
Yes. Vern Troyer is dead.
Oh.
Vern Troyer passed away on Saturday at the age of 49.
Did you do the thing, Sean?
I did, yeah.
Ah, man.
You did all lowercase?
Yeah. I don't get to use it very often.
It's only the second time.
Mm-hmm.
No word of cause of death yet, but a statement on his social media account suggests it had to do with his battles with depression and alcoholism.
Poor guy.
Over the years, Vern has struggled and fought some more, but unfortunately this time was too much. Depression and suicide are very serious issues.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what kind of battle someone is going through inside. Be kind to one another and always know it's never too late to reach out to someone for help. The post had also said Vern was recently baptized. Now, unconfirmed reports say that Vern was in the hospital being treated for alcohol poisoning a few weeks ago before his death, and that he had threatened to kill himself.
Oh, so, man.
Sure, we'll get a report on that soon. I do want to share a little bit about Vern. 1/8
your size.
Now, let this kick in a little bit.
Short people.
He was born with a rare genetic disorder, only grew to be 2'9", spent his childhood in Michigan, and his family was Amish. Of course, famous for playing Mini-Me in two of the three Austin Powers movies, but he was in over 50 movies.
Damn.
Right? Or 25 full feature films. Mm-hmm. His first gig was a stunt double for Baby Bink in the 94 movie Baby's Day Out. He also played Banker Goblin Grip Hook in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, appeared in the other Mike Myers movie The Love Guru, did some reality TV including seasons of The Surreal Life, Celebrity Big Brother, Celebrity Wife Swap, and where Vern's girlfriend switched places with Hein Ward's wife.
Hines Ward, the football player?
Hines Ward,
yes. Mike Myers released a statement saying, quote, Vern was the consummate professional and a beacon of positivity for those of us who had the honor of working with him. It's a sad day, but I hope he's in a better place. He'll be greatly missed. His funeral will be held later this week, and it will be open shoebox for those that are.
Have you seen my favorite photo of Mini-Me, of Vern Troyer? Have you seen the picture of him dragging the turkey behind him before Thanksgiving?
No. What?
He's getting ready for Thanksgiving, but the turkey's too heavy for him to carry, so he's grabbing it by like the net that's around the uncooked turkey and dragging it along.
In peace, Vern.
Oh, buddy.
I've talked about this story a few weeks ago. It was mostly just a rumor, but over the weekend, Allison Mack from this TV show.
Where is that explained at all?
No.
Not Alex Mack. Allison. It was, I think, on the CW about Superman.
Oh, Smallville?
Yeah,
Smallville.
That's right. The woman from Smallville arrested Friday for a part in the alleged sex cult.
This is weird. Did you see the branding things they had?
Oh, yeah.
Little design.
And it's all part of this, I mean, month-long, maybe even longer investigation and rumors going around about this alleged sex cult that involves a lot of people in Hollywood, including her. She pled not guilty to charges including sex trafficking and conspiracy to commit forced labor. Prosecutors say Mack helped recruit women into a self-help network called NXIVM, N-X-I-V-M, but it was basically a pyramid scheme with courses costing thousands of dollars, and then second in command to this sex cult called DOS, D-O-S, Dominus Obsequius Sororium,
all right,
Latin for master over the slave woman. Now, this guy, Keith Rayner, he branded his initials into the women's pelvic areas and then forced them into sex slavery.
The guy didn't look like anything special. He just looks like a nerdy, run-of-the-mill guy.
I don't think it's so much what it looks like versus what he's saying and doing to brainwash these women.
Yeah.
They say, in addition to bringing women to him, Mack allegedly took compromising photos of them, recorded confessions of past crimes in order to keep them from leaving. Wonder if she pulled that from a
Scientology
kind of group. The horrific treatment even included sleep deprived, not defried, and starved to the point that their menstrual cycles stopped. So Max bail will be set today. She is facing 15 years in prison. Does not mean that members of the cult are free. According to Page Six, actress India Oxenberg, 26-year-old daughter of dynasty star Catherine Oxenberg, granddaughter to Princess Elizabeth of Yugoslavia, victim of the same scheme, the same group, Nexium, and her family believe her to be brainwashed by Mac and Rainer.
Isn't Nexium a heartburn medication, too?
It is. Yes. But it's NXIVM, but pronounced Nexium.
They must not like this.
You don't want to get those two confused. Quote of the day, ladies always get shy in front of me. That's from this guy.
If you smell. The Rock.
And if you smell what he's cooking this week, it's him making everybody blush because a high schooler proposed to him. I mean, by propose that he go to prom with her.
All right.
Now, he brought a ton of joy and excitement to one lucky fan by surprising her at school. One of the sweetest videos you'll ever see is Katie Kelsenberg from Stillwater, Minnesota. She breaks down in tears of joy as she hears The Rock over the PA, announcing to her, hey, listen, I won't necessarily be able to show up to your prom, but I'm going to use all my funds in my bank account to do something nice for you and your friends. Here's The Rock.
Just for a very special young lady. Her name is Katie Kelsenberg. I hope I pronounced your last name right, Katie. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for inviting me to your prom. Unfortunately, I can't make it that weekend. I'm going to be in Hawaii shooting Jungle Cruise. I just want to take a moment to let you know how...
Jungle Cruise. Did you hear about Disney Jungle Cruise?
Yeah.
About the ride.
I remember they were making a movie. I didn't know he was filming it now.
Now he's on board.
How awesome I think you are. You stepped out of your comfort zone to ask me to the prom. Katie, girls and women, they get shy around me. High-level professional women get very shy around me, and they don't say anything until I leave. And here you are. You're like, yo, Rock, I'm your biggest fan. I love you. Take me to the prom. I love that about you, Katie. As a surprise, because I can't make it, this weekend I'm going to rent out a theater close to your house. Rampage on me. Invite your friends. Invite your family.
Rampage on me, which could be taken very differently if Katie was of age. He rents out a theater for the lucky girl to invite her friends to see the new movie Rampage with all kinds of free snacks. After the message played, Katie spoke to the class and said, I don't know what to say. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
This is the original tweet that she sent to him.
I'm Katie.
Where she calls her Dwayne. Is it Dwayne?
Yeah.
Dwayne.
Kelsenberg.
Nobody says
and
that.
And I would like to ask you to my senior prom. You may be wondering, why should I go to prom with her?
We're not, but that is the end of the story. She's still without a prom date. When I saw that this gal was trending...
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
No, Shania Twain.
Oh, Shania Twain
is
yeah.
Right. You think, oh no, she's dead. But then we see what she said, and then we think, oh no, she's dead. Shania Twain is catching a whole bunch of heat because she decided during an interview with The Guardian to say she would have voted for Donald Trump, and of course the internet went insane. I would have voted for him because even though he was offensive, he seemed honest. Do you want straight or polite? Not that you shouldn't be able to have both. If we're voting, I just don't want to BS. I would have voted for a feeling that was transparent, and politics has a reputation of not being that, right? It don't impress her much. Probably know what happened next. Internet blew up over the weekend with people calling her out. So, of course, she backtracked, started apologizing. In a series of tweets, she said the question caught her off guard. She regretted her answer. Said she was not trying to point out that candidate Trump was someone people could relate to because he was not a politician. She added, doesn't hold common moral beliefs with the current president. Man, she must feel like a dummy, and I may regret this. Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. I'm gonna do an interview. Want to talk new tunes. Maybe share my views. Yeah, I'll talk about Trump too. Though I'm not from there, I'm gonna tell ya, Hillary's just not for me. I ain't gonna act politically correct. Yeah, Trump is my cup of tea. Oh crap, now everyone's angry. I guess it's time for me to send a couple tweets and say something profusely. Regret it so hugely. Tweet one, tweet two. Take it all back and claim it like context.
I'm going to have that in my head all day.
Man, I feel like a dummy. I couldn't hear myself trying to hit those high notes anymore.
Backup singers were not on the same page as you.
No, I tried to email them, but they obviously did not get the memo. Sorry, karaoke versions are not the best. But finally, I'll leave you with this. The black loafers that were once used on this man's feet.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson is right. He performed his signature moonwalk for the first time on stage wearing those, and they're going up for auction. Anyone want to give a guess?
Oh, that's big money. Moonwalk shoes, are you kidding me? $500,000.
Christopher Lane?
$1 million.
Both of you are very far away. A smooth $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Yep, they say the Imperial leather shoes during the rehearsals for his iconic performance of Billie Jean at the 25th anniversary of Motown TV special in 1983. They're going to be putting up the shoes and several other pieces of Jackson's memorabilia under the hammer May 26th for somebody's birthday, a few months ahead of what would have been his 60th. Also up for grabs is his red Christian Dior cardigan and his Swarovski studded riding helmet. Goodness gracious. So good luck on the boob tube. The top 10 revealed tonight on American Idol, 8 p.m. on ABC. The season finale of Unreal on Lifetime, Carpool Karaoke Primetime with Christina Aguilera, and you can catch Adam Sandler and Sting with Shaggy, who just put out a new album on Fallon. Have a great Monday, Chodes, and remember,
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia when we come back. If you'd like to play, now is the time to call up. And 407-916-1041 is the phone number, or toll-free 1-888-978-1041. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out for an amazing prize. Those of you on the app, you've got a clear scoreboard and another shot at one of those Game Boys loaded up with like 600 classic games. And its color and everything is very, very cool. You can have yours just by playing along. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store or dial us up now, 407-916-1041. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Follow him long enough and you could be treated to a late night live stream with slurred words. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Live trivia in just a moment. A clean scoreboard, so in a matter of seconds here, 30 seconds. Those of you playing along around the world in the News Junkie app, good luck at getting on top of said scoreboard. I know you can do it. All you had to do was pay attention. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
Live trivia for a Monday, April 23rd, 2018. Seven questions from the show on Friday. I know it's been a while. We'll be easy for you. I know the weekend gets in the way. Let's see how you do. Kristen, are you there?
Yes.
All right, there she is, Kristen. And let's see. Catwoman, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Catwoman and Kristen are players in live trivia today. The best of luck to the two of you. A great prize for the victor. Let's go to question number one. Last week, an Alabama man was executed. He's the oldest inmate put to death in modern U.S. history. And his last meal was this with two Dr. Peppers. Did he have two Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, an entire rotisserie chicken, three Lunchables, or liver and beets from a can, Kristen?
I'm going to say an entire rotisserie chicken.
I'll put you down for that. Catwoman, what about you?
Same.
And we'll go to number two. According to reports, at least some passengers aboard the deadly Southwest Airlines flight received this with severe apologies from the carrier. Did they get a plush teddy bear, a check for $5,000, four drink vouchers, or a check for $10,000, Catwoman?
Check for $5,000.
Kristen.
That's what I was going
to
say.
All right, I'll put you down for it, too. We'll go to number three. An announcer for an MMA championship last week pulled a Steve Harvey after botching the official decision not once, but twice. What's the actual winner, the MMA fighter David Booker's fighter name? Do they call him the Scrap, Twinkle Toes, the Coffee Boss, or Cottonmouth from the South? Kristen.
I'm
going
to say Cottonmouth from the South.
Catwoman.
Cottonmouth from the South.
Number four, David Copperfield was forced to break the magician's code when a judge ordered him to explain one of his most famous tricks following a lawsuit from an injured participant. Which trick was it? Was it Devil's Torture Chamber, Squeeze Box, Death Saw, or Lucky Number 13? Catwoman.
Squeeze Box.
Mm-hmm. Kristen.
Death Saw.
Right. Number five, NSYNC announced that fans will get another chance to relive the group's everlasting legacy via a nostalgic, immersive pop-up experience called this. Is it called It's Gonna Be Merch, Bye 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 and Stuff, Dirty Pop-Up, or No Tags Attached? Kristen.
Let's say Dirty Pop-Up.
Catwoman.
Dirty Pop-Up.
We're on to number six, just two left. A lot of guessing going on here. Number six. Scientists discovered what different body parts say about their intelligence, personalities, and health. For example, women with long fingers are better in bed, and large breasts, well, that means this. You have a faster reaction time, a higher IQ, you hate the dentist, or you have high sensitivity to pain, Catwoman.
High sensitivity to pain.
Kristen.
I'm going to say sensitivity to pain, too. I think we're one and the same.
Yeah, you are. You are. We'll see if that means you're right in a moment, but number seven has arrived. Last week, we learned that Bob Drain, the founder of this brand of food, won't even feed this to his own kids. He invented it, but he won't feed it to his own kids. Is it Lunchables, Funyuns, Chef Boyardee, or Hot Pockets? Kristen?
Hot Pockets.
And Catwoman?
Funyuns.
All right. Just a quick question here. Kristen, how much of the show on Friday did you hear?
Not very much.
Catwoman?
Same.
So just thought you'd give it a shot still. Okay. All right. Let's put you on hold. Let's see how that pays off. Wow. That was bad. I mean, you know, they weren't paying attention where one does a out of the left field sort of guess and the other one goes, I was going to say the same thing. And you're going to hear a lot of buzzers, folks. I know that can be jarring to the ear. So just kind of prepare yourself for that sound. Just kind of get used to that. The battle between Kristen and Catwoman, as many other people are screaming at their radios, wishing that they would have gotten through on the phone today. Let's go back through these quickly. The Alabama man who was executed had two Dr. Peppers and what for his final meal?
Kristen and Catwoman both said an entire rotisserie chicken, and that answer... Correct answer was two Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
Starting off on a good foot there. Just both wrong right off the bat. Maybe they turned it around at question number two. Passengers on the Southwest Airlines flight where somebody got sucked out and died got this.
Both the players said a check for $5,000, and that answer was right.
They're back on board. All right, number three, an announcer for an MMA champ. Oh, that's too many M's. An announcer for an MMA championship screwed things up in the official decision. The fighter, David Booker, was the actual winner. What's his MMA fighter name?
Kristen and Catwoman both said Cottonmouth from the South, and that answer was incorrect. Correct answer was the Coffee Boss.
I know that sounds like a fake one, but that is indeed the real nickname of David Booker.
And I used it because the three of us joked around about it for like 5 minutes.
That's about how long
people would remember that.
Kristen and Catwoman actually listened to the show on Friday, I believe. Number four, David Copperfield, the magician I went to see live with my mother. He performs many tricks. One of them he had to reveal in court. Which one was it?
It was Cat that said squeeze box, and that answer was abracadabra. Incorrect.
Ouch.
It was Kristen that said the death saw, and the death saw just went over your trivia score. Correct answer was lucky number 13.
Maybe they got this one. NSYNC is having a pop-up store called this.
Both the players said dirty pop-up, and it's gonna, it's gonna be right.
All right. They got one right, two right or so. Number six, scientists discovered that your body parts say things about you. In fact, if you have large breasts, it means this.
Kat and Kristen both said high sensitivity to pain. That answer incorrect. Your melons, if they're big, give you a high IQ.
Number seven, the final question. The guy who invented this won't even let his own kids eat it.
Catwoman said Funyuns, more like no. Kristen said Hot Pockets, and that answer was wrong pocket.
Ah!
Correct answer was Lunchables. Now we have a tie.
Of course we do. All right, let's see. Catwoman is back. Kristen is back. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. You really should, ladies. Should be ashamed of your performances today. But still, you are tied, so thus we have a tiebreaker. Sabrina is ready for you.
Hope you guys are fans of hot dogs. How many hot dogs are purchased in the USA every second of the day, Catwoman?
Man.
1 million.
1 million every second.
1 million?
What?
Kristen?
I'm going to say 500,000.
500,000. Okay.
All right. Every second. The correct answer is 550.
Yeah!
So technically, Kristen's the winner of live trivia.
All right!
Yeah! Just over by 500,000.
Yeah, I mean, she said every second. So if it was a million hot dogs every single second, there's only 350 million of us in the country. We'd have a lot of extra hot dogs. Now you know that, though. And we know that Kristen is our winner. Hang on tight. What do we have for a C-Lane?
I have a 4-pack of tickets to Local Brews, Local Grooves. It's the ultimate craft beer and music festival happening this Saturday at the House of Blues in Orlando. Tickets are on sale now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information on that. I also have a pair of tickets to see Lewis Black, the Jokes on Us tour. He's going to be at the Dr. Phillips Center on Saturday, October 6th. Those tickets are on sale as well at the Dr. Phillips box office.
At the box office.
The box office.
The box office.
Or online at drphillipscenter.org.
Thank you very much. C-Lane, let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
Topping the scoreboard with a very nice Monday start of 675 points, Testicular Manslaughter begins the week with the lead, followed by Ask Holyo, Thomas, the Dita, Fancy Nancy, Juan Shawson, Build a Room, Took My Shepherd to Live with the Living Was Bribe, Mad Cow, and Scar Chest. The back five look like Anjawa, Sheepdog, The Wood, Eric, and Just Zach.
All you have to do to get on top of that scoreboard is answer quickly. Rapid, fast answers. Just look at the answers. Bam, 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 bam. Go through there and get them all right, and you will be up in the top 10. I guarantee it. And if you're not, don't worry. The week is not over. People will screw up. They'll miss days. They won't have good connections. They won't be able to play. You will jump on top and win the prize. I just know it. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store to get the app and get on board. When we come back, a judge resigns after an audio clip reveals an interaction with somebody, a defendant, in her courtroom. Just how bad did things have to go for her to resign over this? Well, we're going to figure that out next. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
The game of magnets, taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is The News Junkie.
Speaking of game of magnets, keep your eyes peeled, because in the next several weeks, all those folks who just bought shirts will have those Death to Robots magnets on their cars, I'm sure, right? They'll be on your car, Game of Magnets on your car, not on your refrigerator, not just in like some special section of your house where you have them all stacked up, but on your actual vehicle, where they belong and where Game of Magnets takes place. It's fun to see folks, there's a lot of that on the News Junkie Facebook page, who are seeing magnets out in the wild, running out, grabbing them, being a part of Game of Magnets. The more you put out there, the more things spread. But I understand. Sometimes when it's a fun design, you go, don't necessarily want to put this one in play. I get it. A South Florida judge has resigned. Wait till you hear this audio. Wait until you hear this audio of this judge in the courtroom that led to this resignation. Sandra Twiggs is 59 years old. And they said that, the judge, though, is Broward County Circuit Court Judge Marilee Ehrlich, And that is the judge who has resigned because of the defendant, Sandra Faye Twiggs, the 59-year-old, who was in court. Mind you, this was all over misdemeanor charges. This is not some serious case. This is not some gigantic issue. This was a family dispute style thing. And the judge just unleashed the fury on this woman in the courtroom.
It was ridiculous. I saw the footage this morning. Yeah,
it was so bad that her public defender, because she didn't have enough money for an attorney, she got a public defender next to her. Her public defender goes, "What the hell? You should not be able to be in charge of any further judgments in this woman's case." Then the audio eventually made its way out. And because of the swift reaction to this, the judge resigned after she was recorded furiously berating this wheelchair-bound woman in her courtroom. Now, she was even saying at some point, "Look, I don't care about your medical issues, lady. I don't care, wheels, about your problem in the wheelchair over there. I don't care about your breathing issues." And saying some things to this woman that were very cold and unbelievable. The woman died 3 days later. Like, that's how bad the health problems were. And the judge is now facing even more and more of a reaction as this becomes more common audio.
Dr. Twiggs.
There's a judge.
Good morning, ma'am. I've read the probable cause affidavit. This, ma'am. You don't have to respond to each thing, but thank you.
Kind.
Priors, relevant priors, recent priors.
None.
Excuse me, ma'am, I'm asking my courtroom staff. That's okay. I'll let you know each time I'm talking to you.
Okay.
Look, I get it. I get it. You're a judge. You deal with a bunch of people that are pains in the asses, pains in the ass, and you don't want to be dealing with this, and sometimes you just want to cut through it, and you go, "All right, shut up. I'll tell you when I'm talking to you, but come on."
Mm-hmm. That's correct, Jenna. No convictions. So.
No priors. I don't care if there's a withheld or not. Okay, no, so there's no priors.
No priors.
Thank you. You okay, ma'am?
Yes, I have asthma.
Okay.
Please stop dying in my courtroom, ma'am.
Apparently, she and her adult daughter live in the same home, and they had a verbal altercation about who gets the fan.
What's whispering over the top of this?
I feel like it's in one of the attorneys or something.
Creepy.
If I can just enlighten the court, I spoke to Ms. Twiggs this morning, and she told me some information that I verified that apparently, there's been a dispute between Ms. Twiggs.
All right, they talk about the dispute that started, that led up to all this stuff. Let me see. I'm going to bring it a little further in so I can get to a point, I think, where it gets a little bit more heated. Here we go.
Ma'am, I'm not here to talk to you about your breathing treatment.
Yeah, no one cares.
Excuse me. Oh, Lord. Will you say something, counsel, in the microphone so that she can hear you and you can give her instructions about propriety in court? I'm
this
not
going
to spend all day with her interrupting me. It's your turn to speak, counsel.
The
ladies are still apologizing. It goes on and on, and the berating gets worse and worse as it goes. And you know it must have been pretty damn bad if the judge saw this come out and go, "All right, that's it. I got this cushy job here. I'm going to go ahead and resign because this didn't work out for me." The woman who you heard there in the wheelchair, out of breath, you know, struggling to breathe there, and the judge was getting irritated by that, died 3 days later. Yeah. So it doesn't look good when that's your interaction with them. Here's Fish on Jay with a dispatch.
I bet the same idiots that are actually going to spend money to go see this stupid Cash Me Outside girl will probably go ahead and spend money to go see a Honey Boo Boo movie that's IMAX 3D.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I said it.
Ooh.
Is that a thing? I hope that's
no,
a thing.
No, but have you seen Honey Boo Boo lately?
No.
Wait. She is now, I guess, very active.
Which one's Honey Boo Boo?
Social media. Honey Boo Boo from TLC.
I know, but is that the daughter or is that the mom?
That's the daughter.
Okay, so the little girl.
Now a preteen,
yeah,
or maybe 13, and has her personality has changed much.
Oh, has it?
Or has changed a lot where she's like, You think I'm a fake ass hoe? You know what?
Oh,
I'm not
really?
Saying. Yeah.
She's doing that now.
Oh yes.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's the model to follow right now. It's like in anything else, you look at who is doing the best, and everybody follows them. Like on YouTube, everybody follows the march of PewDiePie, or they did for a really long time because the guy's got like 60 million subscribers. Or if you're more artsy about it, you follow a guy named Casey Neistat, who makes awesome videos, and then everybody kind of follows the formula of that. Now the formula, she's not on TV. She's not getting any attention anymore. All right, let's do the Cash Me Outside thing.
How about that?
So maybe she's next in that world. Here's Born Free.
I don't know what the big deal about the picture is. I probably have almost every prom picture on my Facebook page has some father holding a gun. So people just need to get over it.
How many do you have?
A lot of questions. So right before, and everyone had a couple appetizers and took the prom photos, everybody just brought a gun.
Well,
I've not been to a prom in which all the fathers had weapons.
As I knew it, you go to your junior prom and your senior prom maybe, but his Facebook page is just littered with photos of him at the prom.
I never went to prom, but I did get an I have guns talk from a girl's dad who I wasn't even taking out on a date.
Really?
I was picking her up. We were all going to see Hoobastank.
Were you in charge of bringing her back on time?
I believe. I don't know if I was or not.
So he was like, listen here, but Christopher Lane.
Yeah.
Listen here. If you don't have my sweet princess daughter, and I'm sure, like, I love how those fathers always think that. And whenever you have a conversation with a dad like that, it's always the wildest girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the way. He's like, my sweet little angel better be back here no later than 11 o'clock. Or did he pull out a gun or just?
I think he just said, I have guns.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay. I mean, like, I was picking her up to hang out with my friend. And I'm like, Donnie should be getting this speech.
The only incident I've ever had like that, and it scared the hell out of me. I used to hang out with this kid named Justin who went to private school with me. He ended up dying in a car crash. But before that, his family life was really weird. And I went over to his house one time. And, like, he would have been a school shooter, I swear to God. Like, if he didn't die in this car crash, he checked off all the boxes. Can we not pretend that? I mean,
it's a good thing he died in this car crash.
Right. I mean, almost. I mean, this guy, he was one of those people, and he had a bunch of guns and stuff. And went over to his house one time. It was walking up the driveway with him, and his mom comes running out the front door with a rifle, like, pointed at both of us. And he's like, Mom, stop it. Mom, stop it. And I'm like, what the hell?
You're so embarrassing.
What's happening here?
Well, I guess I have to be grateful that my father just brought a fart machine instead of
It's way safer.
Shotgun.
You always want the fart machine over the shotgun. Here's Clemson Tom. Unless you need to defend yourself, then the fart machine doesn't do you much good.
Happy Monday, guys. Sean, I did some ranting on Sunday. Oh, it was amazing.
Nice.
The ranting led to a late afternoon nap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you start drinking about 7:30 in the morning, you will take a nap around 3.
Uh-huh.
Woke up refreshed, went back out, did a little bit more ranting.
Everybody
which led
doing.
Me to the idea that we need a News Junkie ranting t-shirt with a magnet, maybe like a secret group, maybe like a secret handshake. I don't know what you guys come up with. Just an idea. Sabrina, we all know it's your birthday coming up. So get ready to party. See you, Lane. I love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you, Clemson Tom. Sure. I mean, you want to come rotten with me? It could happen at any time. So many people are jumping on board with this movement. You go out. You enjoy restaurants. What could go wrong with this?
Mm-hmm.
Tips at thenewsjunkie.com. Jacqueline says, hi, Sean. Like you and Muffin Lady, my hubs and I are big, quote, ronters, unquote. Well, last night we found some awesome corn dogs I think you would deem ranting worthy. I even ordered them for that reason. The place we went to is called Made in Sarasota. I want to go down to Sarasota anyways.
Sarasota's a fun time. Beautiful beach.
Yeah.
And this is some corn dogs. They're not really corn dogs. You know what? I think I'm seeing these from a top down. It looks like they're corn balls. But I think that I'm just seeing it from an odd angle here. It's not corn. Oh, the corn baller. It's not that. If you're ever in the area and craving corn dogs, now that you guys are in the market here, would be a good excuse to make a trip.
Absolutely.
And she says, I lived in Orlando up until 2.5 years ago. Now I live in Sarasota, but I'm an avid podcast listener and secret show subscriber. Thank you, Jacqueline. Seriously love you guys and the show. I'm in sales, so I'm in the car all day. Even though I'm not in Orlando anymore, my loyalties have not left you. And she shows me right here off the menu. Applewood smoked bacon wrap, char-grilled, cornmeal dipped, served with made ketchup and spiced IPA mustard.
Mm.
Only thing I screwed up there was doing a house-made ketchup. You were pretty bad.
While we're on the topic of ranting, I did something that I've never been to a place like this before, but the Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Where they just give you the raw meat and you kind of have a grill on your table.
Now, is this the Korean barbecue of all these kind of do-it-yourself places like Melting Pot or whatever? It seems like the most dangerous. You just got like a hot plate in front of you?
You have like a grill.
Like you have like a full grill in front of you?
Yeah, in the table.
And you just throw your own food on there and sizzle it up and make it?
Yes.
I want to try this place.
And it's all you can eat. And the buffet includes a lot of, there's a wide range of things you could have.
Does that mean there's just raw meat on the buffet?
No, you have to order that part.
Okay.
They have to bring it from the kitchen.
The rest of it's a buffet.
Now, tell me how you feel about this, because I feel like this is kind of tacky, but there's a note on the menu that says you'll be charged if more than a half of pound of food is left on your plate when you finish.
Really?
Wait, it wasn't a buffet style, you said? It was, okay.
Well, but there are parts of it that are buffet style, like the salad bar and some of the veggies and stuff that can go along with it, and then the actual meat and some of the appetizers and sushi rolls you can order from the kitchen and they bring out.
How do they enforce that? If you have over a half pound, is that how much it was?
They say if you have over a half a pound of uneaten, wasted food, you'll be charged. And I think it was like the full amount for like if you got an additional buffet.
Really?
I've seen that before at a buffet too.
Really?
Like in Tallahassee.
What do they do, though? They come around and, like, weigh your plate when you're about to leave and go, oh, sorry.
I think it's just kind of like you're supposed to just eye it. They put it there to, like, scare you into not wasting food.
Right, but now I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm full, but I've got to muscle down, like, half of this plate so I don't leave too much food behind.
Yeah, it comes off tacky. I love the food there.
Is that expensive? It sounds expensive.
No, actually, the buffet we got was $20.
Oh, that's nice.
A person. And then there's a version that's $30 a person that has the nicer meats. Like, you can get a filet mignon or nicer steak. But, I mean, the stuff that we had was fantastic. I would definitely go again in a heartbeat.
I would try that for sure. My only problem with stuff like that is the same thing I have when I go to a Melting Pot, which we did about a week ago, Muffin Lady and I. When the server comes over, he goes, all right, your shrimp are going to be 2 minutes. Your chicken's going to be 3 minutes. This is going to be this much. And he walks away, and I go, I didn't remember any of that.
They don't print that on a little card or
something? No, it's up in the air. I've got to figure this out. And she's got it perfect, and she knows what to do.
Well,
and
she cooks.
Yeah, I'm clueless.
The cool part about the Korean barbecue is I like cooking, so this is not, you're not putting me out by making me cook my own food here.
Sure.
And I'm going up to the salad bar to get a bunch of mushrooms, and I'm putting sauce on them and stuff. So it's all the fun parts about cooking, and then I just get to leave. And don't have to do single dish.
Yeah. That is a real plus when it comes to the way that you have to handle things after you eat. It makes me want to go there. I'm going to try that out this week.
Also, the place accepts Bitcoin.
Really?
And Ethereum.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You can pay in Ethereum?
You can pay in Ethereum or Bitcoin.
That seems weird.
Cool.
I can't imagine.
How?
I don't know.
Like, Sabrina just puts in her Ethereum code and she can pay?
I think I could scan with my app. Like there's like a...
Like a barcode scanner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they just scan your phone and it deducts whatever the amount is?
I've never tried it, so I don't know if Korean barbecue is going to be my first investment with my ETH. But...
Well, it will be cool just to say that you purchased something.
Yeah, I've never tried it. I honestly don't even know how that transaction would go.
Yeah.
I'd like to pay in Bitcoin, please. If you could please bring me the Bitcoin paying device, and I will give you my Bitcoin.
When we come back, Amazon has a top secret plan that they don't want you to know about. What is it? Plus jury duty. That's coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because the newspapers don't come with cliff notes or potentially offensive accents. This is the News Junkie.
Feel the light.
jury duty in just a moment. And a pretty unbelievable story kicks that off. You're going to want to hear this. But in the meantime, Amazon has a top secret plan. They don't want you to know about this. And I'm not a fan, as you can imagine, once you begin to hear the details. They've been working on many things. About 10 years ago is when they kicked out the Kindle. And everybody said, oh, man, look at this. Amazon's going to have their own products. Then the Echo and all these other things. And now they're in half of the households in America with some of their products, if not even more than that. But they're working on another big bet, robots for the home.
Oh.
It's a codename project that goes by Vesta, Amazon Vesta, after the Roman goddess of the hearth, home, and family. The product is overseen by a guy named Greg Zaire, who runs Amazon's secretive Lab 126 hardware research and development division. They have kicked out the Echo speakers, the Fire TV set-top boxes, the Fire tablets, and even the Fire phone, which died shortly after its inception. And now they're working on home robots that are maybe a little different than the little speaker you're used to in your house. Things that move around, things that you can talk to, things you can interact with.
Hello.
Things that will slowly but surely take over and kill you and your family in the middle of the night. Those kind of things. And this is their top secret plan to put a robot, like we thought it was going to be now, but in the 80s, right? You know, like when you watched Rocky and you were like, wow, Rocky got Sylvester Stallone's rich and he's got this crazy robot. And that's how the future is going to be. We're all going to have one of those. And here we are. We don't actually have those yet, thank God.
Well, that's what iRobot was, right? Everybody had their own personal assistant robot.
Or like, was iRobot the one where the family, their kid died, and then they got the robot kid?
No.
Will Smith. Yeah, what is that one called? Oh, man.
iRobot.
The one with the kid?
Yeah.
AI.
Wasn't it AI? Yeah, and that was that's a kid from Sixth Sense and Robin Williams, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Robin Williams was in AI?
Mm-hmm.
And in all these movies, something ends up going wrong. I think that should be some sort of sign to everybody out there. But Amazon wants to move these robots into your household. Can you trust them, though, is the big, gigantic question that you truly need to ask yourself. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. That's DeWitt Law. That's their website. That's where you can find out how they can help you in a time where you need some help. That might be a personal injury case. It might be after you got in an accident. You got to move early to go against the insurance companies. Go with the DeWitt Law Firm. 1-800-DEWITT-LAW. That's the number you can put in your phone right now just so you have it when you need it. Maybe you're going through a divorce. There's many ways they can help you out, even with corporate law, if you're in that field of need. Check it all out. 1-800-DEWITT-LAW.com. I'm sorry. 1-800-DEWITT-LAW is the phone number. DeWITT-LAW.com is the website. And ask, A-S-K. At DeWittLaw.com is where you can email. A woman has been found guilty of a hate crime, in fact. All for what? This is the UK just spiraling out of control and free speech just falling to pieces under the politically correct fences they've set up around themselves. A teenager who posted rap lyrics that included racist language on Instagram has been found guilty of sending a grossly offensive message. The idea that's a charge to begin with is scary to me. Also, the idea that the person whose rap song she posted is Snap Dog. And it's D-O-double-G as well. There's somebody called Snap Dog, and I can only play like a second of this.
Snap Dog?
Snap Dog.
Go, gang!
Go, gang!
I was chilling with my bitch!
Oh, that's about all I can do. The rest of it is curse words like crazy.
We have Snap Dog here.
We do?
Yeah, I'm sure it's. I hope it is.
In the system?
Yeah, this one's called Waya.
What? I did not expect to have Snap Dog in the system. What song is this again?
Waya, W-Y-A.
All right, we don't have any other ones, do we?
No, it's the only one.
The song that she posted lyrics to, this 19-year-old Chelsea Russell, was a song by this Snap Dog guy called I'm Trippin'. And don't think that I'm like Grandpa and Snoop Dogg. It's actually somebody named Snap Dog. I want to just put an A in both of them.
Snap Dog.
Snap Dog. the I'm Trippin' song she did to pay tribute to a friend who died in a crash. And she said, look, I don't understand what the hell's going on here, but somebody anonymously sent a screenshot of her update to the police. The police look into this for some reason. The Liverpool Justice Center heard that Russell posted the lyrics to her account after the death of a 13-year-old in a car accident in 2017. She used words that are lyrics from the song that some people find extremely offensive. In the particular chorus that she posted, it says the N-word twice. She wrote that with an A on both of them, not a hard E-R, and still was found guilty. I look into this. I saw this and I go, there must be something more. There has to be something else. She was convicted on this for posting the rap lyrics to somebody's song, which you wonder, where does this go? Like, there's no sense to this. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
That is weird.
Do you go to like a Jay-Z show when the whole crowd is singing along and go, oh, all right, all the people who are white here, all the people who are not black, this is grossly offensive for you to sing along and you're going to get a community order too. She got an 8-week community service order, placed on an 8-week curfew, and has to pay about $1,000 in damages, all for posting the lyrics to a rap song in tribute to her friend who had died in an accident. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's how they're doing things over in the UK for now. They released some body cam footage, not a lot here. This is for the Kyle Plush case. He's the one who was found dead on April 10th. 6 hours after he called 911. We know the 911 operator was given like a 60 out of 100 on the way this was handled. And this is the body camera footage of the police officer trying to find Kyle Plush after that call. Went around the parking lot for, I think the video goes on for like 8 or 9 minutes. They said they looked for 11 minutes. Oh, no, the video goes on for 3 minutes. So they only had body camera footage of 3 minutes. They said we searched for 11 minutes, though. Totally swear. The officer says, I don't see nobody, which I didn't imagine I would. And you can hear music playing in the background. He says, these kids drive better cars than you do. Blah, blah, blah. The kid ended up dying. They did not find the car in the parking lot. So who knows? Did they really search for 11 minutes? That's the big question there. And finally, I mentioned this earlier, the father of a 3-year-old girl who accidentally shot and injured her pregnant mother will be facing felony charges in connection with the incident.
The 3-year-old?
Yeah, this happened in, the father of the 3-year-old. This happened in Indiana. The father left a loaded gun in the car with his girlfriend and 2 young kids. One of the kids, 3 years old, starts messing around, grabs a 9mm, shoots this pregnant girlfriend, Shanique Thomas. She's 7 weeks pregnant with her 3rd child. And she's got some nerve damage and stuff, but this guy just leaves this gun there. Nobody knew. The 3-year-old grabs a hold of it and shoots somebody. Bigger punishments for this. Bigger punishments. Responsible gun owners do not do this. They do not leave their weapons out, loaded and ready to go, where somebody can grab them and hurt themselves. So when you're not responsible and something like this happens, or something in the more significant case of this Waffle House shooter who they still have not found, there's been 0 credible sightings of this guy. And his father gave him the guns back when he was banned from having them. These people need to be punished. There's just no buts about it. That needs to happen, and it needs to frighten other people so that they're more careful, they're better stewards of the weapons that they do have. Back in just a moment with a fraternity under fire for a video.
What happened, bro?
Man, has this gone a long way since this was first released. What happened? What'd you miss? All those details are on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
To win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Radio. Radio.
Radio. 104.1. High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie. They said I'm an anarchist. I'm an anarchist.
I was never an actual frat bro. I hit the ground running at 18 and just tried to make my way and learn things along the way. But a lot of frats out there have been getting in trouble over the last couple of years, despite the fact that was called a frat bro, as we all were, when Bill Cosby was fighting back and forth with us.
great.
Wasn't actually a member of one of these fraternities.
Don't you act like one of them frat bros and call me a serial rapist.
How's he doing? Is he still in court this week, Bill Cosby?
Yes.
I think so. I think he's still in court battling all his demons there. Way back when, he called the show a bunch of frat brothers. This is a frat bro mentality that these guys are using going after me. A Syracuse University fraternity suspended for using racist, sexist, and misogynistic language in a ritual caught on video has responded with a statement on its website. Now, I'm not familiar with Theta Tau, but I guess that's one of these frats. And Theta Tau says, every single member of Theta Tau would like to apologize by everybody affected by the racist video. Now, here's the thing. Here's the twist on this. Because they're playing all over Good Morning America, the Today Show. Look at these frat brothers doing what frat brothers do. They're saying the N-word. Oh, wow. There's a slang for Jewish people in here. And they're saying, oh, what else? Anti-Semitic, stuff against Hispanic people, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, it was a satire skit. And this was a sketch that they were doing during this yearly thing, I guess, where they roast current members. And one of the members is a conservative Republican. And the other frat brothers who aren't were roasting him, like joking that he was racist and pretending to be him and saying overtly racist things as this character of the conservative guy at the frat. They were doing all this in a satirical way. The biggest problem is that this stuff is filmed. Because it's filmed and it takes it out of context. Nuance is dead. Nobody gives a damn. They run it out there and they go, how terrible. Look what these people are doing. The sketch was intended to be a satire of an uneducated, racist, homophobic, misogynist, sexist, ableist, and intolerant person, they say. In case you were wondering, an ableist is a person who discriminates or is prejudiced against individuals with disabilities. I don't know how many people are just like, I really hate people with disabilities, but they've got a category. The video shows members making an oath. I solemnly swear to always have hatred in my heart for the N-word, the S-word for Spanish people, and most importantly, the K-word for Jews follows. And all done satirically, all really stupid to do on video. It's 2018. It is. But now there's like protests on campus and they go, this atmosphere of hate and intolerance. We can't do this. We can't be in this position here. Here's more about what happened.
Syracuse University suspended Theta Tau fraternity indefinitely after this video surfaced online.
You know what you signed up for today?
Large parts of it too offensive to show on TV.
Most importantly,
they're doing a voice.
What thought when you saw this video?
I was disgusted and nauseous. I love that. Behavior and words on the video are extremely racist, extremely anti-Semitic, extremely homophobic, hostile to people with disabilities.
There's a protest.
On Wednesday, students protested in front of the chancellor's home.
We're talking about accessibility, we're talking about equality and equity.
Some students say this may be an extreme example, but reflects a campus-wide problem.
Right. Whether they're gay, straight, like what color their skin are, like what ethnicity they are, like whether they're disabled or not, like you gotta learn how to accept it.
At the end of the day, it is not okay. And at the end of the day, it's not something that anyone would want or should want to see.
So there's a big protest on the campus now. I don't even know what the demands of these people are. I know that the people involved in the video have been pulled out of class. So even like their academic stuff, they've been completely pulled out of because of this video. They said, here's the fraternity, because they're not going at this like, get over it, snowflakes. They're saying, we want to let everybody on our campus know that we're truly sorry. Nothing like this will ever again be tolerated. Not in private, not as part of a joke, not ever. We can't apologize enough for the pain, sadness, and fear that this has caused. It doesn't represent the fraternity. Theta Tau is not a hate group. We are not a house full of bigots or those willing to tolerate bigotry. They're back on their heels. Let's talk to Ben. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. So I'm an alum of Syracuse University. I actually graduated in 2017.
Okay.
And first off, Theta Tau is actually a professional engineering fraternity, so it's not one of those social fraternities.
Okay.
I think that kind of gets lost in this whole news story.
Yeah, whenever you hear frat fraternity, frat brothers, and that kind of stuff, you go to the social one in your head. That's what everybody pictures and sees.
Bingo.
as opposed to the other groups that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So were you a member of Theta Tau, or did you just went to Syracuse University?
I just went to Syracuse University. Like you, I never was part of the Greek life, but when you're in the university,
part of the college
you know a lot of the fraternities and sororities there.
Yeah. So what did you think about this? Did you see the video, Ben?
I did see the video, and it was the student newspaper, the Daily Orange, who published it. I'm like you. It's like, at first, I didn't know it was a sketch. I thought, wow, this is kind of terrible. But then when you find out it's a sketch, it's a skit, they're just making fun of their own people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you kind of see their point. But is it, like, terrible of them to have filmed it and then posted on Facebook? Absolutely. Should they at least get some punishment for publishing it? I think they should. But the response that the university has given to the fraternity is solely because of the protests and that the administration has kind of been put in a corner.
Sure.
And they have gone essentially the nuclear option against this frat.
Yeah, well, what they're looking at is these growing groups of people, and whenever the protesters start getting together and they make it a thing on campus, the school generally in these situations just bends over backwards, and you know, nuance or any of the actual facts be damned, they throw that out the window. I thought it was pretty crazy that they didn't just suspend the frat, but that I think they actually took these people out of the academic actions on campus too, right?
Yeah, so the first thing they did was they did suspend them. That was the first thing. As soon as the chancellor and the board got hold of the video, they immediately suspend the fraternity, which is common practice whenever these incidents occur for Greek life. And then they start investigating. And then the students, because the administration was not saying anything, not releasing the videos, the protests started happening. They started getting more angry at the administrators for taking their time, when in reality, it's an investigation. Investigations take their time.
Sure.
And so then the protests got louder. The administration didn't say anything. It was over the weekend, so they were busy with the investigation, and a lot of stuff doesn't get settled over the weekend. So then come Monday, they had to go the nuclear option and say, all right, we're going to have to expel the fraternity. And then the 18 members that were in the video, they're all being pulled from classes and academic purposes from campus.
See, that's the part that's crazy to me. Like, they've taken these kids out of this school. Now it flips everything upside down for them. Have you talked to anybody else who went to Syracuse University and seen what their vibe is on this?
Yeah, I have some friends, and they agree with me. They who are also alumni, we all agree with the same thing that, yeah, something had to have happened. Something had to be done, just the way it all came out and the way it unfolded. Now, some of my friends don't think that this was wrong for the university to do this, because they also see that there's also a more toxic Greek life culture at the university.
Yeah.
I wasn't part of it. They were. But I have some friends who are up in the university, and they're also split. Some of them are saying this was good on the university, that they should crack down more on Greek life. And I have friends who are part of Greek life up there saying this could be really devastating.
Sure.
And could arm the fraternities and sororities who aren't troublemakers and just kind of go about their day.
Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. The thing that always gets me is when a bad representative case is made. And it's like, yeah, is there a problem with fraternities and even sororities on campus? Is there a problem with a culture of excessive drinking, with all kinds of things? Lots of different real issues you could have. Yes, definitely. But then the representative case sometimes against that stuff, it's just not the case that people think it is. Now, I don't think these people should have ever posted this video. I don't think that they should have even used the language that they did. But a satire is a satire. And so suspend the frat, punish these people. But to pull them out of school and go to that extra mile and cave to these protesters, I don't know if that's going to work for them in the long run. But the fallout continues from that video for sure. A revenge porn law has been ruled unconstitutional. I thought we were all decided on the whole revenge porn law thing.
Where was it? Like, is it by state or is it federal law?
There is some federal law, but this is in Texas. And it's a Texas appeals court, actually. They said that there's a state law that punishes those who post intimate images from previous or current relationships online without consent is unconstitutional. Let's see why they say this.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The court said the law was vague and infringed on the rights of third parties who might unwittingly share intimate images. So I guess they're saying if there was some person who was running a website and they posted it, they could get in trouble, and it's just the letter of the law. The court records show Jones, this is Jordan Bartlett Jones, challenged the law as unconstitutional while awaiting trial for sharing a naked photograph of a woman without consent. There's many other battles, including in New York, about all this thing. A comedian, Ryan Brems, shared three photos of Dr. Spring Chana Coper, that's his ex-girlfriend. That one's been another issue. And so we just need like a final ruling on this. I mean, I think everybody could be in agreement. Hey, don't share nude photographs of people without their consent ever, or nude videos of people without their consent ever, because that's a bad thing to do. And most of the time it's done right as a breakup is happening. And you go, oh, yeah, you want to go date him or you want to go date her? Well, I'm going to post this all over Facebook. I'm going to share this everywhere. I'm going to go put this on some message boards and spread your nude photographs out to shame you in some way. So just I hate when we have law that's in limbo and you don't know exactly what's what. This very same thing happens right now with upskirt photos and things where everybody goes, hey, I think this should be illegal for somebody to take a photo up some woman's skirt.
But it's just weird to think that there's a lawyer somewhere fighting for this. To legalize upskirt, hashtag.
Yeah, I get it. I get, like, you want the law to be well-written so nobody else gets their rights violated. Yeah, but
some stuff is so obvious.
Yeah, that one seems like you could figure it out with ease. Back in just a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
A 12-year-old runs away for the adventure of a lifetime. Details on exactly what happens is an incredible story in just a second. Some breaking news to cover here. First things first, the Waffle House shooting suspect is now in custody. They've arrested this guy, and they've finally gotten him after several days of him being on the run. There were zero sightings as of a press conference. I'm talking about maybe an hour ago. And out of nowhere, boom, they say that they got him. I don't know if he turned himself in. We're figuring out details as that rolls through. This is the guy who went to a Waffle House. He was naked, except for he had a green jacket on. Started to shoot the place up, killed some people in the parking lot, killed some people inside. A good Samaritan guy was in that Waffle House at 3 o'clock in the morning, jumped on him, grabbed his gun from him, threw it over the counter to the Waffle House employees, and so stripped off his jacket. He ran completely naked out of the establishment there and had been on the run for several days. Now they've got some initial photos of him. Looks like he may have been chased somewhere because, as you can see, his shirt's all ripped up and he's got scrapes on him, unless that's from an interaction with the police. Just an unbelievable story. Mm. And this is a young guy who had his weapons taken away by the U.S. government. And that was because he went to the White House. He was near the White House in a secured area, and he had a weapon. And he was screaming about sovereign citizen. And you're going to see people try to turn this into some white supremacist. There's a lot of craziness out there. People either don't care about the facts or want to digest them wrong on purpose, or I don't know. But the sovereign citizen movement is a thing where people don't want to pay taxes. Way, way back when, you know, maybe in the early 1900s, it was associated with people who were anti-Semitic mostly, but maybe also racist ties back then. Now it's actually more prominent in black communities that they believe in this stuff. But then there's some people who are just crazy as hell who have this as another thing that they believe in. That's what it looks like with this guy who's now been arrested for the killings at this Waffle House was up to. A wild story. Guy shouldn't have had the guns. The government took them away. His father gave him back the AR-15 that he used to shoot the place up. His dad goes, forget what they say. Here you go. No charges for the dad as of yet, but there should be. There absolutely should be.
1,000%.
Against the father for giving that gun back, because if he didn't, there wouldn't be these people dead. Unless he got the guns in a totally different way. But the father made it easy for him to kill these people. So that's unacceptable. Should be unacceptable. That is now under control, at least in terms of the guy has been arrested. The other story is right now in Toronto, There's another situation with a vehicle, a van, a rider rental van, where they plowed into a crowd of people, and it looks like killed at least a few people. I don't have any firm numbers on exactly how many people are hurt or injured, but this is a concern, too. Now, I go to New Orleans every year, and this past year I went out and said, something's different. There's a lot of construction going on in here. Anybody who's been to New Orleans the last year, 2 years, you know what I'm talking about. Bourbon Street is fully under construction. Why? Because they're putting up those big concrete barriers at every single road. So you can no longer drive down Bourbon Street. They're making it so you cannot drive down. Every single road has these big pylons, concrete pylons, and the road will just be essentially for people who are walking. They might have some areas where you can go through and deliver stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of it's just blocked off. Why? Because they're scared of people doing this. And if I'm honest with you, and I know this is dark and I probably shouldn't say this, when I watch all the people leaving the Orlando City game on Saturday and just the hordes of people going down Church Street, I said, man, that could totally happen here. And then
100%. I mean, after the first big story, was that in Germany or the UK?
There's been a couple of them. There was one in France.
But I remember the first major one, we had like a parade downtown. And for the first time after seeing a bunch of them over the last couple of years, they had the buses and the semi-trucks at each end of the street to stop somebody from doing that.
Blocking the traffic and everything, yeah. Yeah, and so I think you might see more of that. Hell, Church Street's closed for the most part. I don't know, most of the week it's closed anyways. It wouldn't be surprised if you saw them do that. But when they have that trail of people, it goes all the way down to the stadium. In this case, it's in Toronto. They plowed into a crowd of folks. We'll see what ends up happening with that. Lots going on now. To this 12-year-old with the experience of a lifetime, they say he's one of those kids. And I don't know if you guys knew anybody like this growing up, but there's always some kid in your group of friends who's just, he's individualistic or she's individualistic, and they're going off and they're doing their thing. And they're not, they are the type of child that would do what this 12-year-old did. Now, this 12-year-old goes, Mom, I want to go to Bali, Indonesia. And his mom goes, no, you're 12 years old. You're being ridiculous. So he goes, okay, fine. This kid's like a skateboarder, and he rides a scooter around and stuff. He goes and steals her credit card. And he takes his passport because they had been out of the country before. And then he goes to the airport in Sydney, and he tries to fly to Indonesia. And they shut him down. They go, no, no, you can't do that. And his mom finds out what's going on. And then he does it again, a second time. Books the flight, does all this stuff, goes to the airport. And second time, shut down at the airport. Third time was a charm, though, because this young kid found an airline called Jetstar that had some more relaxed policies. And he stole his mom's credit card. He got the passport. He filled the backpack with his clothes, grabbed that scooter, told his mom he was going to school, took a train to the airport, hopped a flight for Perth before heading to Bali, where he was in a 4-star hotel for 3 straight days.
Damn!
Finally, mom finds him and goes, what the hell are you doing? A big story in Australia. I think I have some of the details here about what happened. That's
borderline Home Alone 2 stuff right there.
Uh-huh.
Credit card, you got it.
He had no problem just going on his own. Here it is.
It was great. Because I wanted to go on an adventure.
That's him.
Oh, you're not going to believe what this kid's been up to.
This 12 years age, escaped from Australia. And then the parents was a little bit worried.
Shocked, disgusted.
It's mom.
There's no emotion to feel what we felt when we found that he left overseas.
That was a week you won't forget.
Hopefully not.
One of the things that I'm kind of blown away by is mom is going, how could they do this? How could the airline do this? My little son, there he is. He's over in Bali. You should have known after the second time that your son was pretty dead set on going there. And you should get mad at your mother because it was his grandma who told him where his passport was. And when he found out where that was, he got all the information. And maybe hide your credit card a little better. I mean, there was a lot of things that happened here. It weren't just the airline allowing your kid to go to Bali.
Yeah, but you know what? We're just going to take it right to the news.
He said, let's go to the news and tell them how much the airline screwed this up.
The 12-year-old boy who took himself across Australia and on to Bali.
craziness.
On his own, with not a parent in tow. And don't think it couldn't happen to you.
Well, I mean, if you watch your kids and watch your credit cards, make sure a 12-year-old doesn't have a passport when he's tried to get away multiple times, you could be almost sure. I mean, not all the way sure, but almost sure that it's not going to happen to you and your preteen. Just keep an eye on him, maybe. It's exploding all over the country. The latest plastic surgery trend is forehead reduction surgery.
Yay.
The woman by the name of Jenna Bentley, who wanted more than an inch of her forehead to vanish, she went to Beverly Hills and plastic surgeon Dr. Michael K. Obing for help. What do they do here? Do they chop away at your skull to do this? How do they?
I'm sure they move your hairline.
Like, do they just put hair further down on your head so it's like crawling down your skull?
I mean, it's not making your skull any smaller, so it would have to be just hiding forehead.
Well, let's decide this first. Do you think she had a real issue? Her forehead length, how big is a big forehead? How many inches is too many inches?
I go by 5 or 6.
Five or six?
You put,
it's pretty tall.
I have 3. Not inches. Look, forehead. You get 4 fingers.
Yes.
I have a 3 head.
You do.
It looks like you have a 3 to 4 head.
I might have a 4 1/4. I might have a little extra.
Oh, I got a solid 4.
Yeah, but you got the hair falling over the front, which is misleading. It makes it look like you've got.
What do you mean misleading?
Less
what?
Of one. And it looks more.
What are you talking about?
More like a 3 head. The hair coming over. This woman had 4 inches of forehead, which doesn't seem that bad. I mean, that doesn't seem crazy to me. Unless the rest of your head was tiny, she demonstrated with a tape measure. Look how bad this is. And they said, I'm going to move this skin down. I'm going to remove all of this. They cut in. It takes 2 hours and then 2 weeks before you could take the bandages off. And more people are making the move to do this. Let's see if we can learn anything here.
This woman says something about her face has been bothering her for years.
Oh, yeah.
It's the size of her forehead.
I am so ready to have this done.
Jenna Bentley wants more than an inch of her forehead to vanish.
Crazy.
So she's having a rare procedure called forehead reduction.
Everyone laughs because this isn't a very common procedure.
Beverly Hills plastic surgeon Dr. Michael K. Obang will be performing the operation. The doctor draws a line on her forehead showing where her ideal hairline should be.
Yeah, that's I guess they move the hair.
Jenna's forehead length is 4 inches.
All this is coming up.
A tape measure shows he'll remove an inch and a half.
Just to get it all done. I'm nervous.
In the operating room, the doctor shows us what we can expect.
We're going to move this skin down. We're going to remove all this trick prior, so let's do it.
He uses a zigzag cutting
method
designed to make the incision look more natural.
Voice.
The forehead reduction takes a little over 2 hours. 2 weeks later,
I am beyond excited.
Her bandages are coming off.
Oh, wow.
The doctor shows how far her forehead used to reach. Now it's about half the height.
Your forehead went all the way back here.
Oh, my God.
All the way back here, too.
And it feels so weird, but it's like a good weird.
A good weird. I'm ecstatic. I'm so happy. I feel amazing. Couldn't be better.
This doesn't look like her first plastic surgery procedure.
Maybe not the first foray into the world of plastic surgery. She maybe has had a couple things done before. And I'm all for self-improvement, even if it's self-improvement that you're paying for. I just think, and Muffin Lady tends to follow a lot of the people that violate this rule, if you get to a certain point, you're never going to be happy, no matter the changes you make. And it becomes a true body dysmorphia issue, which is scary. And the amount of things that people will do to their body to chase this perfection, wow, it's frightening. So I'm glad she's better with everything. Maybe just everything else in your life will fall together and you can stop with all the surgeries now. Hopefully this is the end of the line. When we come back, final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Monday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Confirming all reports
and some of your biggest fears.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Travel on my left, travel on my right. I've been facing trouble almost all my life. My sweet love, won't you pull me through? Everywhere I look,
final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Monday. And the world's oldest person passed away this weekend.
No.
Nabi Tajima died in Japan at the tender age of 117 years old.
Fatality.
She had been in the hospital since January. Was born in August of 1900.
Okay, see, I feel like we've already been over this, and there was the oldest person in the world, and that a couple years ago we lost the last person that was born in 1900.
Yep.
I, like, the different reports say that there's an old person that's older than the other old person.
There was one thing that said some lady was supposed to be 120-something, and I think that people kind of scoffed at it. Like, I don't know if this is real.
Yeah.
But this lady, they believe that she really was this old. She is the oldest person now. What's weird is now there's somebody a little younger than her that becomes the oldest person. And you don't get to have that title for very long.
No.
You're only going to have it for a little while. Guinness World Records says the oldest man in the world is Masazo Nonaka, who's 112 years old.
Oh.
And, yeah, I guess the next oldest person is about to turn 117 in 10 days. Somewhere they just have a big catalog of all these people and how old they're going to turn. And it's a real sad catalog because you keep scratching people off the list. Let's go to the dispatches. So final dispatches. In fact, here's the very first one from One Form. Don't screw it up, please.
Hey, News Junkie.
Hey.
I was wondering if any of you guys might know about a guy going around holding a sign that says the mark of the beast in front of neighborhoods, because apparently that guy showed up in front of mine a couple of times, actually.
Weird.
And he just stands there hours on end holding that sign. It's kind of creepy, actually. Some information could help me out.
I don't know.
Thanks in advance.
It sounds very odd. You guys just got 666, Mark of the Beast. It's got some message, I guess.
Hmm.
Or he's just out of his mind. Either way, keep your distance.
Why? $5? It's the crazy wrestling guy.
Oh, yeah? What crazy wrestling guy?
We talked about him before. He was the one that was shot outside of the professional wrestling. Then
yeah.
We'll check up once in a while, and he's posted 15 videos in one day.
Does he have...
walking around.
Does he have a thing with Satan and Mark of the Beast stuff?
I don't... He has a lot of things.
Yeah, it goes fast.
I mean, there was... he was loving the Bible for a long time, then, of course, the wrestling, and then... what was the latest show? Wasn't it like...
A TV show?
Yeah, like X-Files or something like that.
Well,
I'll check up.
He's very into like cartoon like a Marvel like comic book characters, I think.
Yeah, but there was one like this last round he was obsessed with like a new movie or cartoon characters.
Man, when you watch his live streams, whew.
A lot going on.
Yeah, it's a lot. Here's that guy.
What up, News Junkie crew? I hope everybody had a really good weekend. I know that I did because last Saturday was Record Store Day!
Yeah.
And my girlfriend and I camped out in front of one of the most prominent record stores in the Central Florida area. I know you know the one. And we were the first group through the door to get our hands on some really choice vinyl, such as Raging Against the Machine, live at the DNC in 2000.
All right.
That concert is pretty epic. Raging Against the Machine played a live show directly across the street from the Democratic National Convention in L.A. in 2000.
It was like a riot.
Before Bush got elected. Right? And they were so... I don't know. They fired everybody up that a riot broke out. The LAPD had to show up.
Oh, I remember that. There was like tear gas in the streets and everything. Record Store Day was cool. I feel like it didn't get as much play this year. Is it maybe because it was on the weekend or something? Or usually
what
it's
do you
a
mean
big
by
deal.
Play, though?
Usually it's like everybody's talking about, hey, today's Record Store Day.
I felt like there wasn't as much buzz this year.
I don't know why. I mean, maybe there's something about the fact that it's just coming back into style. Like, it's in vogue to buy vinyl now. You're kind of the weird person if you don't have any of it. It becomes more and more popular over the years.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm guessing that he was talking about Rock and Roll Heaven on Orange.
Yeah.
And that place is incredible.
Yeah.
And they've got an awesome selection. And the smell in there reminds me of shopping at Peaches back in the day.
It does.
It smells good.
And it's very cool people who work there, too. The guy who runs the place is a nice guy. Dylan loves vinyl, so I brought him in there many a time. Quickly, the story that didn't make the cut. Coca-Cola announces its first ever alcoholic drink. It's going to be called Chu-Hee.
Hmm?
Chu-Hee. And it's a Japanese drink, soju, sparkling water and flavoring, and a little bit of alcohol. The very first ever Coca-Cola alcoholic product. Let's do today alert!
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Monday, April 23rd, 2018. In front of me, seven stories. Seven stories, not questions, Sean.
You can ask us questions.
Around the web and around the world, all that good
did
stuff.
Did I learn?
Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. The question is, do you know what this TV show is? Today I Learned, this television show. Nobody's going to get it. Too hard.
You don't know.
It's one of those shows where they go in and they fix stuff. They
Fixer Upper.
They were local here not too long ago.
Bar Rescue.
Bar Rescue is right.
Aha.
Today I Learned, if you have a bar with a gang problem, you can get rid of your bar's gang problem in 3 weeks with one formula, according to John Taffer from Bar Rescue. If every third song played is from a female vocalist.
That's rude.
He said if you do this over and over and over again, he's proven that it is effective.
Gangs don't like songs by women?
I guess so. He says he owns the only patent issued by the federal government to achieve the desired ambiance in a musical program in hospitality properties.
Did he say that on his show? Because it sounds like it's a lie.
I think it's on his website. That's where this is pulled from. Today I Learned, bottled water brands Perrier, San Pellegrino, and Vittel, all three of those, are owned by the same company, Nestle. In total, Nestle sells water under 50 different brand names, including Poland Springs, Zephyr Hills, and many more. Today I Learned, this show here.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul is indeed correct. I'm so far behind on this. Is it worth catching up? Are you still watching?
Yeah, I like it, man. I still like it.
Today I Learned, Bob Odenkirk in Better Call Saul was fully trained as a Cinnabon employee to prepare for his role. He even refused a hand double, insisting that he used his own hands in the bun preparing montages. So he's skilled. If you get in a pinch, Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul can make you a Cinnabon if you need one. Today I Learned, 8-hour workdays were devised so that workers could evenly divide their 24 hours between 8 hours of working, 8 hours of recreation, and 8 hours of sleeping. However, nobody does it exactly like that, I don't think. Today I Learned, this movie right here. Here's a trailer.
I was a child in India, growing up in the tiny village of Heron Makister.
Is that Mike Myers?
Guru.
Guru is right.
Is it Guru?
Love Guru. Yeah. Mike Myers was in the 2008 film.
Baby.
The Love Guru, and it was so badly received by critics at the time that The Love Guru came out, he hasn't had an on-camera starring role in a film ever since. One critic in his review predicted it would be career-killing for Myers, and, quote, one of the first films at least the past several years, unquote, the reviewer said.
That was his first step into Adam Sandlerville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of his movies were killing it, and then you went, what the hell is this?
What is this thing? Today, only one person in recorded history has ever been struck by a meteorite.
Who day?
It was a woman by the last name of Anne, and she was hit in 1954. And finally, today I Learned, this band.
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath is indeed correct. Tailored for Black Sabbath's best-selling album, Paranoid. The band booked 2 days in the studio. They only needed one. They recorded the entire album in just a few hours and spent the rest of the time getting high as hell on the company dime.
That's exactly what it would sound like.
Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio.